97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. It is 6 o'clock on a Monday night as we return from the weekend. Father's Day weekend for everyone. Hope all the dads had a great weekend, a very relaxing, peaceful weekend. Hope you all took care of the dads, the grandfathers, right? All of those things, your sons who are now fathers and such. So hope you all had a great weekend. It was a really good one for me. I'll take it. It was peaceful. It was quiet. You know, hanging out, at least, you know, just talking with my girls and stuff. And it was all good. It was all simple. And, you know, I appreciate it. But I hope you all had a great weekend. And we return to this week for another one. And a lot of stuff to get into today where, you know, we try to get not try to get away, because we have made sure that we made it very clear that the message is always going to be out there. The opportunity is always going to be there to speak about all of the things that are going on in terms of the society right now, where everything is. It's just been a crazy year for everyone in 2020, and it just keeps on getting weirder and weirder and weirder, with sports still not here, still not with us as of yet. Sports still a question of if they'll even do anything at all. And as I say this, I'm looking at looking at Twitter, and Jesse Rogers of ESPN says, sources tell Jeff Passan and I, players, have voted against the league's latest proposal to play 60 games. The vote was 33-5 against. Well, as long as they keep going on with this, then there will be no baseball season. And that is just simply something that we are going to have to get ready for. And you heard Mike talking about it. You heard Anthony speaking about it. The morning show touched on it, of course, a bit. The basic overall question of, is it even worth it with everything going on? I kind of jokingly last week spoke about the NBA and their health and safety protocol booklet that they put out, 100 plus page health and safety protocol that they put out. Right now, I jokingly said, I don't want to read all of that. And if they have to read all of that for something like this, if I have to read it, they have to put it together, is it even worth them trying to get back out there on the floor? As much as I want it, as much as you want it, Josh Rabick producing the show tonight, as much as he may want basketball back, we all do. When you have to go through such extremes to try to get a product back on the floor, back on the ice, and, you know, go ahead and get things restarted, is it worth it? And when we look at this thing here with Jesse Rogers and Jeff Passan, where the league again, the players again, refuse to vote in favor of this proposal to play 60 games, we're talking about the 60 games, right? The money and all. Have we even gotten to the point where they, baseball, has their protocol once they return? We know about the possibilities of certain states and the leagues, how many divisions and all the things that have been thrown out there. But right now, it seems like basketball has a leg up on how they want to do things. Again, jokingly talking about the 100 plus page report for the safety and protocol. NHL has something in place as well. NFL has a foundation of what they might want to do, and the luxury of watching and seeing what the other leagues are going to do once they get started. But even then, it's going to be difficult for all of them. So it is a question that is real. It is a question that's going to be repeated. Is it even worth coming back at this point? It is June 22nd. The NBA Finals would be over. We would be getting ready for the NBA Draft on Thursday night, and here we are trying to restart, get the season going again in late July. The Toronto Raptors, we talked about them last week, the Toronto Raptors are already in Florida. They're not in Orlando yet, but they are in Florida. And with them being in Florida, they're trying to get a leg up, trying to get themselves acclimated. They're going to quarantine for a little bit before they get to Orlando. They're going to practice with the rules that are in the guidelines for them to practice right now while they are in Florida. But again, just look at what is going on with these leagues trying to get things started. And I commend them. I really do, for trying to get it going. I was pessimistic about the NBA returning, pessimistic about the NHL coming back, pessimistic about Major League Baseball getting started before all of this stuff with the now worried about the collective bargaining agreement and now these guys arguing over money and all the stuff that they have to go through. I then flipped and said, all right, the NBA is going to come back. The NHL, they are going to come back. They will give us something to watch. And with them giving us something to watch, it'll be cool. But you know people are going to test positive. There are going to be some setbacks. Nothing is going to be perfect because this is something totally out of the norm for any of us. We have never seen anything like this. That's why I do give them credit for trying. But at the end of the day, as much as we may want it, as much as we want to talk to you about the Philadelphia 76ers, about the Philadelphia Flyers, about Major League Baseball returning, I mean, guys, at this point, seriously, is it even worth it? And when we stretch a little further and go away to, right, the fact that Major League Baseball is having their issues, that's not even about the coronavirus anymore, even though the Phillies have now tested positive for things. The Toronto Blue Jays have tested positive for the coronavirus. They have to shut down their practice, their facilities and spring training. They have to do all of this stuff. At what point do we start to play? And at what point do you finally say, all right, look, guys, we've given it our best shot. We know how much money is going to be lost. But at the end of the day, is it really worth it? So look, I want to start off with that. I really wanted to start with something else, but I kind of went on this 7-minute rant about just this. Is it worth it? Not breaking any news here. I'm not creating a new topic that has not been talked about. I know we might have a different audience than what you've heard in the morning, in the afternoon, and Mike's show, where people want to jump in and we're throwing it at you again. Is it worth sports returning at this point? 610-632-0975. I want it. You want it. We want it badly. We want to see them out there. But number one, health and safety. Yes, that's why the NBA puts together the 100-plus page health and safety protocol guidelines, and I'm cool with it. But once again, if you have to go through all of that, if you have to create rings to tell you if you are going to be too close to someone for more than 5 seconds, if you have to create bracelets, if you have to create a bubble, is this something that you really want to do? Is it really worth it? 610-632-0975. And the other story, and by the way, let me give you a little bit more. According to Bob Nightingale, thank you, Josh. According to Bob Nightingale, Rob Manfred, the commissioner, of course, of Major League Baseball, now expected to implement 54 to 60 game season that would start no earlier than July 26th. According to Jeff Passan and, again, Jesse Rogers of ESPN, the union votes down proposal 33-5. So, Manfred is finally done. The players have said, just tell us when, tell us where, and let's get started. All right? You have rejected the league's proposal of 60 games, 33-5. You've asked them to just tell you when and where. According to Bob Nightingale, Rob Manfred is now going to tell you when and where. Let's see what happens. Now, again, Josh, you can tell me if I'm wrong. Are there any guidelines from Major League Baseball at this point, like we have from the NBA, like we have from the NHL, like we've seen so far with the NFL saying that they're going to space out in the locker room a little bit more? They're going to separate the lockers a little bit to have people 6 feet apart. They're going to try to do their best by having them shower, like one at a time and all of these different things, and it's just a lot of work. There's just a lot of work that has to be done. And at this point, as much as I want it, it's starting to just be one of those things. We had a caller last week saying, you know what, I'm tired of all the updated news on the NBA. I just want to see some basketball. I do too. I want to see some basketball. I want to see what the Flyers do in the resume season. I want to see the Phillies get out there now maybe for this 54-60 game season and see exactly what happens. But we all know at the back of our minds, in the back of our minds, when these leagues do kickstart, that we are going to be thinking about, or at least I am, because it's just going to be put in our faces, no fans in the stands. How spaced apart are they going to be in the dugout? We already know the rules about the NBA. Only certain amount of players are going to be allowed on the bench. The ones behind the bench, if you're not playing, you're going to have to wear face masks. That goes for coaches as well. The coaches are going to be asked to at least suggest it that they put the face masks on while they are on the bench. This is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. A lot of work for what? At the end of the day, what is it? Not just for our entertainment, for the money. It's for the money. At this point, with the NBA and the NHL, should we just wait for the fall? Major League Baseball, take this 54-60, get things going, and let's just call it a day at 6:11 here on this June 22nd. Where do you guys stand on the startup and restart of sports? How tired are you at this point? 610-632-0975. We knew it would be difficult. We've never seen anything like this. The coronavirus taking over our world, taking over our country, taking over our city, taking over our sports as well, taking over our jobs. And yes, these are jobs for these players, but they are still going to get paid in some capacity. That being said, how important is it now for you to have sports return if they have to go through all of this? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on this Monday night, returning from Father's Day weekend. Once again, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Hope you had a great weekend. We also have to get into the situation with Bubba Wallace, which is terrible. You hate to see something like this happen where a noose was placed in the garage of Bubba Wallace where his car was stored, of course, getting ready for the upcoming race. And NASCAR had to release a statement. Bubba Wallace released his statement. The other drivers today walked in solidarity with him on the track to push him in the front of all of them. What did they do? A double lap or whatever? I didn't think it was a double lap, but I could be wrong. But that being said, that was a despicable thing that was put out there. You hate to see it. And when people still say, why are we talking about this? Why are we still getting these types of questions? Why are you focusing on this during your shows? Because this stuff still exists. And if you think it's going to ignore and just go away, it is not. It is not. This is NASCAR. This is not the NBA with a majority of black players out there on the floor. This is not the NFL with, again, a large number of black players playing football. This is NASCAR, where you may not have a lot of African-American supporters for NASCAR. But in this case, you see what happened. A noose hung in a garage. And seriously, it's 2020. And that's the whole point of everyone doing exactly what they're doing, man. And I mean, I got to tell you, it's just a tough, despicable thing that we witnessed, or at least that he witnessed, that the NASCAR people had to check out. And now we have to talk about it in this capacity as well. So we'll get into that as well. But first, along with that, the startup of sports, is it worth it? Do you guys want it back after all of this? Yes, you want it back. Is it worth it? 610-632-0975. We'll get to Josh Rabick, get his thoughts on everything. We'll get into Dallas Goedert. My goodness. Laid out. It's not funny. I'm just saying. Got laid out. Sucker punched, sneaky, laid my man out. A lot of other things. Davies Bertans out. You had the option to decide if you want to play. Washington Wizards had a great season for the Wizards after being traded from the Spurs. He decided, no thank you. Trevor Ariza, he may also take a pass on this one with the return of the NBA in Orlando. So we'll get to that. A player was drafted on this date, June 2017. We'll ask you a side topic based off of that. And a quarterback looked like he's getting a franchise tender from a football team that big number as well. So 610-632-0975. And again, according to Jeff Passan, Jesse Rogers, the players have voted against the league's latest proposal to play 60 games. The vote was 33-5 against. According to Bob Nightingale, Rob Manfred may implement now the 54-60 game season. Players have said it. Tell us when and where. Well, you might get when and you might get where, and let's see what the players then do. Let's start off in the phones in Collingdale as Mike tips things off for us on this Monday night. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, what's good, Sam? I ain't talked to you in a while, so I just needed to reach out to you and just answer your questions. Personally, me, I'm kind of like, once sports was over, you know, they shut everything down. I was like, you know, I wanted it. Now I'm at the point where I really don't want it because I think we're probably going to be more disappointed as fans as if the season start up and then they get to the playoffs and certain players, you know, catch the virus. And, you know, in a series, you know, a series may be a week to 2 weeks. So some of the star players may be going in. The best time to watch everything is the playoffs. So I think it'll probably be more disappointed in reference to that. So, I mean, like, let's say we get into the Eastern Conference Finals or the Western Conference Finals and LeBron, AD, Quad, PG, they all catch it in the same week. So are you really going to be satisfied with watching dudes who you normally wouldn't turn the TV on? Same with baseball if it starts up. Same with hockey if that starts up. So that's only my concern, that I think we're going to be more disappointed if as it starts up. But once they get to the playoffs, the main players that we normally are attracted to and watch.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? You know, I was thinking about this too, Mike. And I was talking to someone in the league, and they brought this up to me as well. I was thinking about it. We discussed it, which was, would they really tell us, Mike, if the names that you just brought up, LeBron, Anthony Davis, right? Those names get brought up. Kawhi Leonard. Are they really, Giannis, are they really going to tell us and tell them, Mike, that they are not allowed to play? Will they? Yes. Will it leak out? I doubt it. But then at the end of the day, to your point, who's going to make the ultimate decision? I still believe the stars will run it.
You think so?
Yes, I do. You're going to tell LeBron James if he contracted coronavirus that he's not playing?
I know, especially like you said, after what everything's been going through, you know, starting up, they ain't going to want to stop.
No, they're not going to want to stop. They are not going to want to stop, man. Listen, Mike, I hope you had a great weekend, man. Good to hear from you. Thanks for starting us off tonight. Great question. Really appreciate. I'm sorry, man. If you had something, call us right back and we'll let you finish. But I was... Seriously, speaking to someone in the league, in the NBA, and that was a serious question. If one of these stars come down with coronavirus, yes, they're going to tell the player. But at how much does LeBron James have in terms of his pull with his stardom in the league, his place in the league as the face of the NBA? Whether he's still considered the best player in the world, he is still the most powerful player in the NBA. All right. LeBron, you can't play. Now, LeBron might be responsible enough and say, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out. I need to quarantine for 7 days. The family was going to be here, or the family is already here. In that case, you know what? Hey, I have to sit this one out. I think my team will be good against the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round. But what if it's not the first round? What if it's the Western Conference Finals and they are playing the Los Angeles Clippers in the Western Conference Finals and they need LeBron James because, there's a healthy Kawhi Leonard and Paul George opposite them and they have a 7-game series. They're not going to now change the schedule. They're not going to pause the games and allow LeBron James to rest up, get ready, bring him back in 4 days. No, 7 days. Have to wait. Have to wait. Once again, look, we are going to get a positive testing. It's just going to happen. We have to get ready for that. We have to, once the leagues do return, and they are going to return, it seems. Once they do return, we are going to get a positive testing. Seriously. We are. And we have to accept that. Now what? Now what? It is definitely going to be something totally different that we have to, they have to prepare themselves for, which they probably have, right? They probably have, and that's great. And what are they going to do when it's LeBron James? He's going to do everything he's supposed to do. You really believe, though, that they're going to stay in those places, those hotels, those bubbles? No. No. They're going to rent a house in Orlando. They're not going to stay put in Orlando on, in that bubble. They're going to veer off. You have young players that are going to do the Memphis Grizzlies, as many veterans as they have on that team. That is a young basketball team that is probably, if they feel like they have a little bit of a run in them, even though they're playing the Lakers in the first round as of right now, are they going to stay in there? You would hope so. But they're young. They're 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. Seriously. Seriously. That's why we ask to start things off. At this point, is it worth it? 610-632-0975. Bob Nightingale, 16 minutes ago. There are several owners pleading with the commissioner, Rob Manfred, to go ahead and implement a season tonight. If you're just tuning in, Major League Baseball, their proposal on the table of 60 games, the players have voted against 33-5. And now that's why Bob Nightingale is putting out of USA Today this tweet. Several owners pleading with Commissioner Rob Manfred to go ahead and implement a season tonight. 610-632-0975. That's why we're simply asking, is it worth it? Because Major League Baseball, it was about the coronavirus in the beginning. Then it became about the money, and again, about the money. Yes, teams have now come up with positive testing, absolutely. But it still is about the money. No longer is it really about the coronavirus, even though we know what happened with the Phillies, the Toronto Blue Jays, shutting down the facilities in spring training, shutting down things in Arizona, because now their numbers have really spiked in Arizona when things were very, very slow in the early stages of things. Now things have really picked up big time in Arizona. So 610-632-0975. Is it worth sports returning at this point? We want to start things off there with you. We'll give you our side topic as well as we go along. You just heard the latest from Major League Baseball. The players voting against the 60-game season. The proposal was the latest from the league. And now Bob Nightingale is reporting that the owners are pushing for Rob Manfred to implement the season of 54 to 60 games starting tonight. What are your thoughts on another rejection from the players? 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens. We are with you until 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic. Woo!
The Fanatic, Devon Givens with you here on The Fanatic until 10 o'clock. Josh Rabick producing the show. Our numbers 610-632-0975. Tony on Twitter and _Simon_ says, I want these sports to come back so the NFL can see what works and what doesn't, so we can have a football season at least. So you want them to be guinea pigs for the NFL, Tony. Well, look, we said it. We said that the other leagues are going to basically put things out there for the NFL to have a guideline for themselves, a template, if you will, to see exactly what works and what does not work. So I understand that, and I get it. More so for me, I just want to see everyone come back and have the opportunity to play, but only if it's worth it. It's just my thing. Only if it's worth it. And it just seems that, look, I've talked about this before. All these things that are going on out there, the replays of games, it's fantastic. They had the 1983 championship this weekend on NBC Sports Philly. Of course, we love NBC Sports Philly, and they rerun these games and all. The one I really wanted to see, which they did a few weeks ago, but we were on the air and I did not hit record for the DVR, was game one of the 2001 NBA Finals when they beat the Lakers in Los Angeles. And I watched one of Villanova's games back in 2018 in the Big East championship where they beat Providence, and it was a very, very good game. I remember a lot of those games, so I knew which one it was. I wanted to rewatch it when it was re-aired on like 11 o'clock at night on FS1. But other than that, I've been having a hard time keying in on some of the replays because I do want sports back. I want the live stuff back. I want to watch these games that they are putting on. And again, they're doing a great job of just giving us content, giving us something to hold us over until we get the actual sports back. But I want the real deal. I want the real stuff that is going to give us that excitement. I want to watch those replays when I want to watch those replays in the off season. And while this is technically an off season, we are also expecting to get basketball, hockey back. Maybe baseball, football again is the guinea. The other one's the guinea pig for football to see how what works and what doesn't work. Again, according to what our man Tony wants, but I just been having a hard time watching these other games that are being re-aired, and they're very cool, and I like watching old games as well, but I just cannot seem to really lock in. The only thing that I've watched, really, is The Last Dance.
A lot of people agree with you, too, because why do people not usually DVR games? They have to check the updates on what the score is on the ESPN app because they want to experience it real time with others. And it's different if, say, you want to go back to an old Allen Iverson game. You want to go back to an old Peyton Manning, Tom Brady game, and you want to watch an individual. But when you know the outcome of some of these games, it takes away the drama of what we crave with sports.
Mm-hmm. And you're 100% right. I like watching. People don't like watching replays in general. They won't watch them at all. Like they'll say they might record a game. Those like current games, they'll record and rewatch. But things of the past, they really won't lock in and dial back in on those. But maybe there are people with me. Maybe I will sit there and watch some. I appreciate that they give them to us because, let's be honest, a lot of them are hard to find. So they give them to us and it's like, okay, cool. They are out there. But it's just been tough for me to really lock in on any of these games and get ready for any of them, to be perfectly honest with you, even when they tell us that they're coming on, because I just don't feel the same way about them knowing that there's a possibility of us having sports return. And with that, I ask you again to start things off. Is it worth it to have sports return this season for the NHL and the NBA? And of course, Major League Baseball getting started. We'll kind of wait and see what happens with the NFL. But if we're saying that about the other three, the NFL has to follow with that same thing. 610-632-0975. And I'm sorry to feel that way. I really am. I'm really sorry to feel that way because I love sports. I'm here doing this job because I absolutely love sports. Love it. Absolutely love it. But my goodness, I mean, they have to go through so much to get these athletes back out there. so much. So much to get these athletes back out there. And now the Major League Baseball players have rejected this 60-game proposal. And now Rob Manfred has to decide if he wants to implement the 54-60-game season just to get the season into the books, get things rolling, and go from there. It's tough. It really is tough. Our side topic, briefly, before we get to the phones, 610-632-0975. We wanted to share this on this date, 2017. The Philadelphia 76ers traded for the number one pick. They were sitting at pick number 3. They moved up 2 spots from 3 to 1. And on June 22nd, 2017, they selected from the University of Washington guard Markelle Fultz. Yes, Markelle Fultz. So, as a side topic, a great question by Josh Rabick here tonight as we put the side topic and lay it out there for you tonight to go along with our main sports topic. A player that you may have given up on too soon. All right, we know about the story of Markelle Fultz. We know how things have not really worked out for him in the league so far, at least here in Philadelphia. Traded to the Orlando Magic. 1 season there with the Magic. He has played 64 games, starting 59, 28 minutes a night, averaging 12.1 points per game, shooting from the floor, 47%, shooting from 3, 25%. We know the story of Markelle Fultz. We know it. I'm not saying that we did give up on him too soon here in this city. Some were willing to keep him and let him grow, let him get through the issue that he had, the shoulder, the mental block, whatever it was, whatever you decide you want to call it, you wanted to give him an opportunity. As much as I liked him as the number one pick, liked other players in the draft as well, I felt it was time for a change of scenery for him. Orlando, young team, nice spot for him. Giving him an opportunity to thrive and hopefully have a successful career. So far, looks good for him, at least to return. He is still not the same player coming out of the University of Washington, but he is also a player who is regaining his confidence and can do that with the Orlando Magic, maybe more so than, once again, having the patience here in Philadelphia where they are trying to win a championship, where Orlando is trying to build with young players and put together a core group for the future. Orlando is the right place for him right now. So with that being said, we wanted to ask you to go along with our sports topic in general, a player that you may have given up on too soon. Meaning, of course, he eventually turned out to be all right in whatever sport that athlete plays, or whatever sport that athlete, the female athlete, plays. So, once again, an athlete in honor of Markelle Fultz, selected in 2017 NBA draft, number one pick, traded to the Orlando Magic in the offseason. He is now 1 year in the books. Well, they still have the postseason once the NBA returns. Orlando will be there. He has 64 games in the books with the Magic. Looking all right, has some flashes this season. A player that you have given up on too soon. 610-632-0975. Dylan McKinnon, who was back there with Josh and I in the back preparing for the show, had a really good one. And we'll save that one for someone who brings it up, and then we'll let you know that Dylan also had that particular player. Josh and I will give ours as well as we go along, but we wanted to get you guys in first. A player that you may have given up on too soon that turned out to be a successful player, male, female, in whatever sport, not just here in Philadelphia, but all of sports, all leagues, all teams, there are plenty of them out there. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Rich in Indiana, who's been waiting patiently here on The Fanatic. Rich, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
I was just saying, I guess, to your producer, too, that I think you're being, I don't know, a little pessimistic.
I'm a lot pessimistic. I'm being honest with you. I am.
Well, I go from day to day. I guess I am, too.
See, but look at it. You just said day to day.
You brought up folks.
Right.
But if you look at in Europe where they're playing soccer, and it's not in a bubble, but they're staying, I mean, you have high-paid athletes that are playing, and in so far, knock on my head for wood or something, sure. You know, they haven't had any problems, so there probably is a basis of how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think you're also selling. I mean, I'm curious, how old are you?
42.
Okay, hey, you're a little too old then. What I was going to say is if you're talking about the Memphis Grizzlies, if they go there and they're not going to follow, well, that's if you're a knucklehead. Like, if you're somebody who's going to the beach and you're on top of everybody and you don't have a mask on and, you know, you're doing everything wrong, that's your own fault. But you would hope they would be mature enough to know this is what they got to do, and they do it so that they can get through everything.
Yeah, and in Florida right now, Rich, with the cases that are going on and we see these high numbers. Let's take LSU, for example, right, where they have what they've said about 30-plus.
Oh, yeah, they got a ton.
Right. Now, we can look at them and say, all right, well, they're 18, 19. We don't know the players yet because they haven't released them, and they don't have to because they're college players. But they could also be those seniors, those juniors that are 21, 22 years of age. And when I speak of the Memphis Grizzlies, Rich, the Orlando Magic as well. They have players, key players, that are rookies, come out of school, their freshman year, players that have come out their sophomore years, that are 18, 19, 20 years old max, that could make those decisions that we're now speaking of, where they are, if you will, immature and decide to go out there on the beach, go to the right. club, whatever it might be, because these states have opened back up. So someone, Rich, is going to, at some point, because, I mean, numbers just say it, right? There are too many people in that bubble that someone is going to have, and even though they test them daily, that's the great part. They test them daily, and they can get it and possibly get it early and avoid someone else possibly having it, but it just looks like it's inevitable that someone will, and the concern now is, will they follow those guidelines?
Right. They almost have to.
I agree they have to.
It's crazy, but... I also think the star players, I think the guys, if you watch the soccer, and let's forget about the COVID right now,
mm-hmm.
or the teams that are playing for something, like if you watch the games and pay attention to the stores, sure. the teams that have skin in the game, they're playing hard. The other guys are kind of just waiting to get enough paychecks or whatever they agreed to, and then they're going to go home. So you might see that happen in the NBA too with a lot of these extra teams.
And
they're just going to go through the motions.
You know what my problem is with that, Rich, and you as a sports fan will know this as well. Players who loaf like that, that's how you get hurt.
Yeah.
That's how you get hurt. So then you look at it, was it worth it at the end of the day? Because these players don't come prepared. We already heard about Trevor Ariza, possibly Davis Bertans of the Washington Wizards. They don't even belong there. Right? They should have just done the 16 teams, 8 in each conference. Washington is out. Now you're leaving a player to lose money this year, but ultimately for the bigger picture where he had a great year, he's a free agent, Rich. He wants to cash out, and he does not want to risk getting hurt in this little 8 regular season games that he's going to have to try to make the playoffs.
Oh, no, I understand it. Yeah. I got to tell you, if I don't know if I'd want to play, okay?
Sure.
I want to watch, okay? I'll tell you that because, you know, I'm basically avoid everybody, and you know, I'm 65 years old, so I try to avoid as many people as I can, and you know, so sports is an outlet. But if I were a player, I'm not sure if I'd want to play, so I wouldn't be shocked.
Sure.
But I think the guys who got skin in the game, I think they're still going to have 16 teams that are going to want to play. I think it's the other 8 or 9 where there's going to be a problem.
Okay, and quickly on your way out, Rich, do you believe though that they will all return at least the NHL and the NBA?
I think they're going to try because it's about everybody wants, you know, they all want their money, so.
Yeah.
It is all about money.
No question. So. We agreed on that one for sure. It is about money. Rich, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Good stuff. I And when I mentioned the injury part, that is totally different from what we've heard from Kyrie Irving, Avery Bradley, Lou Williams, and Dwight Howard, where they want to sit out for different reasons because they don't want the social issues to disappear. It's totally different here, where Davis Bertans is like, look, I was going to get paid. We weren't going to make the playoffs anyway. I'm not risking this. He's going to give up like, what is it? I think it's like 280,000 potentially. I think he's going to give up like 280,000, or maybe I have the number too low and it might be like 500,000 that he's going to give up potentially with this season. I'll look it up. But him giving up that money, of course, is nothing compared to what he believes he would make on the open market as a 520, closer to 520 is the reduction, and that amount is still unknown until after the season. But yeah, that's the amount of money that he was going to miss out on. And for him, I think that's the right decision. Why risk injury when you are about to have a big payday? 610-632-0975. Great call. Really appreciate it. We ask again, is it worth sports returning? Yes, I'm being pessimistic. This is a scary thing. It's a scary thing with everything that's going on with the coronavirus and everything that they have to do to try to put these leagues back together. Also, Markel Fultz drafted 2017 on this date by the Philadelphia 76ers, traded in the offseason, 1 year now with the Orlando Magic, a player that you may have given up on too soon. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick producing. Devon Givens here with you until 10 on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.6 49 97.5 The Fanatic, the 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. 610-632-0975. And once again, I just want to kind of go back to, before we get to Josh, we'll get to Josh in the 7 o'clock hour and allow him to, since he brought this up with the side topic of Markel Fultz being drafted on this date, 2017, player that you may have given up on. We have one from Nate in Southwest as well, that he wants to share with us. That it was a really good one. A lot of people did give up on this particular player. Not me, but a lot of people did give up on this particular player. And it's an interesting one that has turned out very, very well for said player. But just to go back to what I was saying about the players deciding to, again, Davis Bertans out, Trevor Ariza. His is a little bit different because as I was reading, when I was reading what Woj put up there, of course, it's a lot of personal stuff, but he released it. He put it out there that Trevor Ariza is opting out of participation in the NBA's Orlando restart of the season, committing instead to a 1 month visitation window with his young son. So look at the differences. And we've already learned that the NBA said they will not penalize anyone. Right, the NBA will not penalize anyone that decides that it is not in their best interest to head to Orlando because it's just not something that works for them right now. Totally different from the reasons that we have for Kyrie Irving and Avery Bradley, Dwight Howard, so on and so forth. So Ariza and Bertans, look, with all due respect to both players, they weren't going to make a deep run, in my opinion. Bradley and Howard are with the Lakers. You know, as much as they are off with the speaking of the social justice and putting things out there and trying to make sure they keep maintaining and raising awareness, again, LeBron James has this huge voice. These guys have been practicing already out there in L.A. Like a hidden, I was listening to something. They have like a hidden practice that they're doing. I heard J.J. Redick and Bill Simmons say it. Like in a Beverly Hills area somewhere, this rich, really wealthy guy has a court that's almost a replica of Staples, the Staples Center in L.A., and that's where they've been practicing for a long time. Now, we know early on some players had tested positive for the coronavirus for the Lakers. We never found out who they were. But there are a lot of differences, different reasons why players might decide that they do not want to go to Orlando. The protesting, the message overall that the guys are talking about, Davis Bertans, money, Trevor Ariza, a family situation with his son for spending, you know, the visitation rights for a month. A lot of different reasons, a lot of different things that are there. Here's the week of dates for the NBA. Tomorrow, coronavirus testing begins. Okay? Tomorrow, the transaction window for all 30 teams open 12 noon Eastern on Tuesday.
Well, let's start the insanity.
Correct. Wednesday, a player should notify his team if he is not playing. There you go. Have to tell by Wednesday. And I don't think these are going to be the only two. Saturday, two-way contracts, only 22 teams in Orlando can be signed. I'm guessing Mario Šejak, possibly Chris Kumaje, from the Blue Coats and, of course, the Philadelphia 76ers. Sunday, last day to waive a player, 5 p.m. Eastern. I do not think this is going to be the last time we hear a name. Davis Bertans, Trevor Ariza to start things off today. I believe that there will be many different reasons. Fear of injury. Once again, the social message that the players want to continue to push in our society. Understood, but I still believe that you can also do that while in Orlando. And injury, family, whatever their reasons are, they have their reasons. Joel Ingles, I brought this up. Well, Tyrone brought it up. I was listening to Mike talk about it. He and Ty were speaking about possible scenarios, why players would decline. We now have two. One for money, don't want to risk injury. The other for a family situation. Joel Ingles has a child with autism. Key player for the Utah Jazz. Bogdan Bogdanovic has already decided to have surgery a couple of weeks ago for an injury that he had to take care of. He's not playing. It's going to be difficult for the Utah Jazz to win without Bogdanovic and now possibly for Joel Ingles. So he's going to look at them and say, you know what? And I haven't heard anything. Maybe we have to check out and see, like what Sarah Todd has put out there, who covers the Jazz, formerly of the Inquirer, helping out covering the 76ers as well. I mean, there are going to be different reasons as to why players decide to back out of this bubble. Once again, is it worth sports returning? These players as individuals are already, and listen, they're not it. We already heard Damian Lillard speak about, if we're not going to have a real chance, I'll go and support my team, but I'm not playing. He's essentially saying, even though he would not be able to, because if he's not going to play, they don't want to take up a body spot for someone else who's healthy enough to play, or a staff member who's healthy enough to be there to support the team in whatever way they do their stuff overall. Again, another reason. We're not really going to win. Davis Bertans, money, and Washington, we're not really going to win, so he's not going to play. There will be more. 610-632-0975. Once again, Markelle Fultz drafted on June 22nd. 2017. Some believe the 76ers gave up on Markelle Fultz a little bit too soon. That being said, whether you believe that to be true or not, our side question on the evening is a player that you may have given up on too soon in any sport, any team, any league. 610-632-0975. We keep this going on the other side. We'll also jump into a little bit more with Bubba Wallace when we return. The number 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick, producing here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming to you from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast 701. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick producing, 610-632-0975. Mace Hood on Twitter says, I believe Fultz was traded in 2019 February's trade deadline. Love your show. Thank you, Mace. He was absolutely traded for Jonathan Simmons at that time. Yes, you're 100% correct. I failed to mention that. My apologies. Good catch, Mace. Really appreciate that. And I thought actually Jonathan Simmons coming in with James Ennis and Tobias Harris, Mike Scott, Boban Marjanovic. I actually thought Jonathan Simmons would give them some rugged perimeter defense overall. And yeah, I was wrong. Not to say that he was on the level of Markelle Fultz, because even though Markelle Fultz was no longer the player that we saw selected by the team number one overall, Markelle Fultz is still a better player. But I thought for what they did and the surrounding the team overall with the players, the versatility, on and on and on, that I actually thought that Jonathan Simmons would contribute a little bit, and he really gave you nothing. He was erratic. He wasn't someone who could be trusted out there on the floor for minutes, and it was what it was with Jonathan Simmons. So great catch, Mace. Really appreciate it. Ramid Suave Capo says, player I gave up on too soon. This is Dylan McKinnon's choice too, Ramid. Brandon Graham. He says, especially since Earl Thomas has had such a great career and would have been a replacement for B-Dawg, I want sports to come back, but only if the players are on board. Miss the games. Definitely miss the games for sure. 100% Ramid. And yes, Brandon Graham is a very, very good one. That's exactly who Dylan McKinnon had said to start things off when we threw it at him. He said, Brandon Graham is a good one, because we all want it. We all want it. Earl Thomas coming out of school, we knew, right? He and Eric Berry, the top two safeties, they were already missing Brian Dawkins. It just seemed right. Fell right into your lap. It was going to work out where you get the safety to replace him of the future. And he goes on, wins the Super Bowl, should have won a second. We know what Pete Carroll did and didn't do in the latter parts of that game, the interception by the Patriots at that point, Malcolm Butler. Yes, Brandon Graham, a fantastic one. So with that, let me give you, before we get to Meg and Chris and everybody else on the phone lines waiting, 610-632-0975, if you want to get in. Nate in Southwest reached out via the text board here tonight and says, Lou Williams. Josh gives a thumbs up for Lou Williams, which was Nate's choice on the text board.
If you pressed me on a Sixers one, I would have went Lou Williams.
Really?
And it's because I undervalued what he would do on a contender. I thought it looked a little bit more cute and inflated on the caliber of teams that the Sixers had at that time, which weren't true contenders.
6, 7, 8 seed.
Right. But on a higher seed, I didn't expect him to be probably the best sixth man in basketball.
Sixth man for the Toronto Raptors. Sixth man for the Los Angeles Clippers. Did some nice things in a short amount of time with the Houston Rockets. And now with the Clippers now, but he also had a nice season with the Lakers in his season there. Also, Lakers, then Houston, then back to L.A. Atlanta as well. Lou Williams, that's a really good choice. I was always a supporter of Lou Williams. I was vocal when they broke that team up. I understand you had to make changes, but I was vocal about not giving up on that team. Just, you know, the core, the foundation. I was an Iguodala fan. I liked Evan Turner more than most. It didn't work out for him. His best seasons were really with the Boston Celtics. And I'll give mine then. And then you give yours, Josh, whenever you're ready. Meg and Chris will come into you. I'll stick with the Sixers. And I'll give one that I think, and me and Mike were talking about this last week, a player that the Sixers gave up on too soon, Sam Hinkie, trading him. While he got picks, extra picks and all, Drew Holiday is a darn good player, man. A darn good player. Nerlens Noel hasn't panned out. Dario Šarić, while it panned out, he is now on his third or fourth team at this point.
When you talked about giving up on the core, I could see it in your eyes that Holiday was the next thing that was going to come out of your mouth.
He had already made an all-star team. Yes, there was an injury situation. I think that's when Derrick Rose was still out. So if Derrick Rose was healthy, Drew Holiday, he probably wasn't going to make it. But that being said, a two-way player, a guy who can defend, all defensive type of player, a guy who can score in the East. I think at some point he would have been an all-star if he would have had that extra responsibility, which turned out to be the type of player that he is now with the New Orleans Pelicans. The Sixers have since tried to reacquire him. Drew has said, we've heard reports before that they were interested in him free agent in free agency, but they have since tried to reacquire him. He has said basically that he liked it here, loved it here, didn't really give it much thought to come back. So Drew Holiday would be my choice. All right. We'll get yours, 610-632-0975. I really like Drew Holiday's game. Meg in Philly, thanks for hanging on, Meg. How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Doing
nice
well.
Nice to hear your voice. It's the first time that I've called into you, so it's nice to hear your voice. I'm just calling about, I love watching the reruns.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you know what? You know the outcome, but you know what? You know where you were, what TV you were watching, who you were with. And it, you know, it makes me happy, you know, and I'm basically a baseball fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our family, you know, nieces, nephews, we have a Quinn Philly game every year. There's like 50 of us. It was sad not doing this year, but like we all called and watched all the playoffs of the world champion. So you watched
the replays of the 2008 games that they re-aired?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course. Listen, and I understand it, Meg. Again, I'm not saying that you or anyone else who does enjoy watching these games are wrong. I love the fact that, once again, that NBC Sports Philly is able to re-air these, Major League Baseball, NBA TV, all these channels are able to do it. For me, and I know you miss it as well, I just can't go back to that spot, even though, as you said, I know the outcome. Certain ones I can, Meg. The other ones, for the most part, I'm like,
No, I understand that, but for me, yeah, at this time, you know, it's important, you know, and do I think we need to go back? I think we have to put a hold on this. I just
really
think we don't know enough about it. I am a retired nurse. I lost a niece to COVID.
Oh, sorry.
I just think there's a lot we don't know. And God forbid one of these players should really get sick, or their family members.
Yeah,
you know?
So let me ask you this, though, Meg. As a retired nurse, when you first started to hear about this, and then, of course, it escalating to what it has eventually turned into, and again, unfortunately,
right,
sorry about the loss of
Thank
your niece,
you.
Did you know that it would be this serious once you started to do the research?
This is what I said. I said to my friend, I said, we do not know enough. And this is like in February when,
yes,
like it was happening in Europe. We don't know enough about this. And it's evolving. And we know it already.
Yeah.
So just everybody be safe and make right choices. And you know what? I went 3 months without seeing my family, my grandchildren, because it's the right thing to do.
Right. Right. Absolutely, Meg. Thanks again. Don't be a stranger.
Stay safe.
You as well. Thank you so much. And again, sorry about your niece, losing a niece too. Anyway, but certainly during this time where coronavirus has again taken over, and you just heard her, everyone stay safe. I keep mentioning wear your masks. I'm not saying don't go out. They're opening things up to allow people to move around a little more freely and all. And I understand it. Everyone can't stay in at all times. All I ask is just make sure you wear your mask. Just be responsible when you're out. And I'm glad she's enjoying it. Once again, it's just not for me. It's not for me. Certain ones, Yes, I wanted to see the 2001 game one against the Lakers. I would watch the final game against the Rays when the Phillies played. Yes, I would watch that 100%.
So when you go back and you rewatch some of these games, do you give yourself a homework assignment where you're kind of going into the game like, I wonder if things went down this way, or I'm interested to see how this went down because I don't quite remember this?
Yes, yes, because you do pick up on things that you may have missed, especially if you haven't recorded it and saved it on your DVR. You are likely to miss something. You might have spotted something where I didn't spot it. I might have spotted something before where you didn't. We're all going to pick up on things that we've missed. And it does give you a different wrinkle and something else to discuss and something else to talk about that you may have missed previously. But yeah, I'm just not there all the way as of yet. I'm just not there.
Yeah, for me, I'd rather rewatch like highlights or something like NFL Films does, where you do the voiceover and you do like a 15 like elongated highlight version of the game.
Sure.
And watch something like that instead of actually having to go all the way back to the game, unless I have a purpose, whether it's like, all right, I actually really want to see how well Foles played or how well Brady played in this Super Bowl truly compared to the box score.
And I love that they come up with the games that they want to play. Certainly here they're going to focus on the Philadelphia teams, as they should. However they decide, yeah, it's the unknown of what's next, which one is going to be next, which one are going to feature next week. We have no idea. And you're like, oh, man, I forgot about that one with the Flyers when they were playing on their way to the Cup Finals. And you're like, yeah, I forgot about that game. Remember when this happened? Or the big games where they had the long seven overtime. You want to go back and watch that. Number one, because you may not want to watch it on your computer. And now you're going to be able to watch it on your television. You get a great quality of it on your TV screen, opposed to the laptop. Even though you can sync it to the television, we know all of those things. But I want what I want from the teams now. I just do. I want what I want from the teams right now. And like I mentioned, I want to watch the re-airs when I want to watch the re-airs. All right, I'm thinking about this game. Let me go pull it up. Let me take 2 hours out of my day now and go and pull this game up and check this one out. That's all.
And sometimes you remember a game differently. Like as time goes on, you kind of almost build it up to this legend mm-hmm. and that nothing can ever live up to. And then you go back to it after years of building up that legend and you go, okay, maybe it wasn't quite how I've been retelling this.
Sure, absolutely. 610-632-0975. Josh Ravick, Devon Givens with you until 10 here on this Monday night. MP Roach on Twitter. Are the Sixers stuck at the sixth seed? They right now, Martin, are not stuck. The 8 regular season games does give them an opportunity to move up in the seeding where they can improve once they get to Orlando. Right now, they will play the Boston Celtics, which I do think is it's not favorable. It's a good matchup for them because of the success that they had during the regular season. The postseason is a different animal, and there are positives on both sides as to why the Celtics can win, why the Sixers can win. He continues, how do the 8 games work? Where I think right now, Martin, while they haven't given us everything of how it is going to work, there was a report that if you had teams that are in the bubble, the 22 teams, on your remaining schedule, when the season was put on pause, they will put together as best as possible a schedule with what was already on your schedule within that bubble. So for the Sixers, right now, they had Washington, I believe, twice. They had Phoenix, I know for sure. They were also supposed to play Houston, if I'm not mistaken. Why am I guessing when I have a computer right here in front of me when I already know who the bubble teams are and what the schedule? The Grizzlies, the Pelicans, Spurs, Bucks, Magic. They have all of the postponed. They have the Pacers, Wizards, Raptors, Suns, Blazers, Rockets, Wizards, Magic, Bucks, Spurs, Pelicans, Grizzlies. Yeah, they have plenty. They have plenty. So let me see. 1, 2, 3, four, five, six, seven, eight, with three more teams that are remaining on the schedule for the Sixers. So are they going to try to put it together where they're not like leaning more one way? Whereas, oh, okay, the Sixers have Washington twice. They have the Suns once. The Magic, the Spurs. But they also have some tough teams with the Bucks, the Grizzlies, Raptors, Pacers, Rockets. I don't know how it's going to work, but that was a report, Martin, out there that they would try to put together the rest of their eight games based on what was remaining on the schedule when the season was put on pause. So I hope that helped answer your question. And for a player that that was given up on too soon, Martin says, another Sixer, Nick Vucevic, in the Andre Iguodala, Andrew Bynum trade. Nick Vucevic, who has just simply become one of the best centers in the NBA, an all-star, an anchor, really, for that Orlando Magic team, even though they're not very good, he is still arguably the best player on that team, Nick Vucevic, for the Orlando Magic. 610-632-0975. We'll get to Josh and get his. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown next on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
You know, Devon, you really think that Nick Vucevic is better than Markelle Fultz down there in Orlando?
Yes, I do.
Oh, see, I think Markelle Fultz might have a little bit of a higher ceiling than Nick Vucevic.
May have a higher ceiling, but he's not better than him right now. Markelle Fultz is nowhere near an all-star.
Okay, let's talk about right now. This Sixers team, right now, you know me. I've been the one that has been the biggest J.J. Redick hater and, you know, really wish he'd be back on this team just because he would give us a spark. Like, you know, I look at this team and I see a bunch of young guys who don't know what it is to be a top echelon player. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, these two, I'm sorry, but after all this layoff, they better be at the top of their game. And if they, and Ben Simmons, I hate it. But as much as he, you know, he shows all these videos of him dunking in no shirt and all that, dude, you know what? Show me on the floor. When we're on the floor playing at the center, then you could say that you are really what you are, you know, built up to be. Like, first pick everything. You know, Devon, at some point, it's like Marcus Smith, is it not?
For Ben?
For Ben.
No. Marcus Smith was, no. Ben is an all-star, a legit all-star. He has his flaws, but no. Marcus Smith was just a flat-out bad pick by the Philadelphia Eagles. Quickly, Chris, do you have someone that you, as a fan, or the team, gave up on too soon?
Yeah. The 2008 Philadelphia Phillies. You know, after all these years of us being in the dark and being, you know, not winning any championships, the 2008 Phillies before the Eagles won in, you know, in 17, like, that was really the key for me. Like, you know, getting that one title off our back, it really made all the difference, Devon.
All right, Chris, good to hear from you, man. It has been a while, man. Thanks for calling in. Hope everything is well. 610-632-0975. Marcus Smith is nowhere near Ben Simmons. Nowhere near. He wishes he had the career that Ben Simmons had.
Yeah, and he was absolutely reached for where people were like, who? Like, they had to go through their sheets, like, of the packet to be like, who did they just select? And you really went out on a limb taking him, whereas Ben Simmons, I mean, really 2 months into that college season, you knew who the number one overall pick was going to be.
Absolutely. 100%. Marcus Smith was like, what? We understand you needed a defensive end or you could use some help there. But Marcus Smith, nowhere. Chris, no, nowhere near it. Marcus Smith, Ben Simmons and the videos and all that. You know what? We can get into that a little bit later. But I think many people know how I feel about these videos that come out for Ben Simmons. Last summer when Joe Torre and I would sit here and Josh Raby would be producing the show. These videos would come out. People are excited. It's a topic. And I'm sitting there like, all right. And I've already seen him do this stuff before. The shooting as well in those pickup games. I've seen the shooting in the gym where I've had the pleasure of just being in the gym while he was in the gym and no one else in there other than the people helping him work out. I've seen it. I didn't get excited last year and I'm not paying any attention to these videos that he has right now. The only reason why it's important to me, Josh and Chris, is because he had the back injury before the league shut down. That's the only reason. So it is good to see him reverse dunking and catching alley-oops and the spin moves, the reverse layups, the things that he's doing. I'm not even the least bit worried about a jump shot. His back is my concern. One good forearm elbow to the back on a screen or something, buckle his knees and he's down again.
Yeah, you have to wonder if that's something that gets easily re-aggravated because we saw what happened last time he was on the court. But as far as not shooting in games, I mean, just keep this in mind. When Karl Malone was a Laker, him and Shaq used to have three-point contests during practice, at the end of practice. I mean, how many times are you looking at Shaquille O'Neal popping threes in the middle of games? It's exactly what it is. It doesn't count. It's during off time.
Yeah, and of course, the only difference, Shaq shouldn't be shooting them where Ben Simmons.
Well, exactly.
Probably should be shooting them. But you can't tell me that the back injury is not going to be on this. Even though the eight games, whatever, once they get to the postseason, if he makes it through the eight games, or if they already have things locked up, the seeding, specific seeding through those eight games, and they want to give him maybe a game off to give him some rest. You cannot tell me that in that locker room, pregame, on the whiteboard, an assistant coach is saying to, let's say they're playing the Memphis Grizzlies, and hey, Jaren, when Ben Simmons comes around and he's trying to fight through that pick, lay a nice one on his lower back right there. See if he crumbles to the floor. There's no way. Just like in the NFL, if they know you have an injury, it's now part of the scouting report. And they are going to try to identify where it is that, you know, they know where it is, but they're going to try to make sure that they make it very aware that they know that you are feeling this and you are going to simply feel this. See where you are. 610-632-0975. Elbow Shaferi. Brian says, if you provide zero rim protection, it is impossible to be one of the best centers in the NBA. Sorry, Vucevic. Best offensive centers. Brian, my bad. 610-632-0975. That's why they go out there and they get Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba to help out with the defense because Nick can just simply give you 23 a night. 610-632-0975. We'll hear from Josh and get his player that he may have gave up on too soon. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick until 10 here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, so an hour ago, I am looking at her on Twitter. Natasha Cloud, local WNBA player for the champion Washington Mystics, world champion Washington Mystics, St. Joe's product. She has decided via, I'm looking at her Twitter account here, or Instagram, whatever one, she put it on both. She was a big part of one of the rallies that was put together, one of the protests this weekend with John Wall, Bradley Beal, the Mystics, and the Wizards. I'm just going to read while she is here at home in Philly. I'm going to read her post here on Instagram. This has been one of the toughest decisions of my career, but I will be foregoing the 2020 WNBA season. There's a lot of factors that led to this decision, but the biggest being that I am more than an athlete. I have a responsibility to myself, to my community, and to my future children to fight for something that is much bigger than myself and the game of basketball. I will instead continue to fight on the front lines for social reform because until Black Lives Matter, all lives can't matter. That's Natasha Clout from the world champion Washington Mystics. And she plays now. All right. You know her from St. Joe's. She can hoop. WNBA has already announced that they're only giving them 22 games. They're also going to be somewhere in Florida. I don't know the location, but they will be in Florida. But 22-game season plus the playoffs, they're going to give the WNBA. And, of course, they had an opportunity to defend their title. She has decided as a key contributor, key player for the Washington Mystics, that she is going to forego her 2020 WNBA season for the very reasons that we heard Kyrie Irving speak out publicly, Dwight Howard, Avery Bradley, Lou Williams, and a few others. Natasha Clout giving up her 2020 WNBA season. What do you think about that, Josh? Again, it's not the NBA, but hey, we can't ignore the WNBA either. They have an important role for young female athletes, basketball players, and not just basketball players, but athletes in general that, of course, they are role models and show that you can make it as a female in professional sports. We've seen many, many do it. Natasha is a key player on a championship team, and she decided to forego the season.
I think it's actually a bigger statement for her doing that, because obviously you have a chance to repeat and you understand what you can do as a contender there, but they don't have as big of a platform as the NBA does. So also being able to walk away, it's not like you're sacrificing, I think, the same caliber of platform that maybe a Kyrie Irving or just insert in another player that might be on more predominant, more likely of a contender mm-hmm. in the NBA.
And she did also march here in Philadelphia as well a couple of weeks ago when Tobias Harris, Aaron McKee, Matisse Thybulle, Elton Brand were out there. She also marched at that time when they were all out there as well. So, you know, 2 weeks ago, good for her.
And not saying that other players aren't backing up their words, but she's already shown the proof that when she isn't going to return to the WNBA, at least for this season, mm-hmm. that she's going to be actually putting in the work.
Yeah, she's going to do something about it. She's not just going to be sitting there doing nothing. She's going to be out there working hard. And good for her. Good for her. Natasha Clout foregoing their 2020 season. And again, an opportunity to defend her and her team's 2019 NBA championship. 610-632-0975. So while I have you quickly, not quickly, but while I have you, Josh, player that you gave up on too soon.
I pretty much came up with one in each sport, so I had to pick out of all the sports which one I thought it was, and I have to go Jaromir Jagr with the Flyers. And the reason why I go him is he was 39 years old. And you weren't sure what you were going to get out of Jagr at that time because he was out of the league for a little bit and everything. You weren't sure how his game was going to translate at that age to the NHL. The wonders he did for Claude Giroux that season, you saw the drop-off when he was no longer there. It was, I believe, him and Hartnell that were with Giroux on that first line.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, 40-year-old, it's going to be time. You'd rather cut bait, you know, a year too soon than a year too late. And that's how I thought about it. You didn't want to commit the money, and the Flyers have a long history of committing money to players that are too old. After that season with the Flyers, he actually had two seasons where he outproduced that, including at 43 years old with the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, didn't he go back to his country and play as well?
I believe he might have played in, I can't remember if he went in the KHL or if he played in the Czech Republic.
Okay. All right, I just knew he was playing somewhere else. And what was the other one you said? I'm sorry. You said you had two?
Or was
I was saying he had two seasons where he was able to do that, and one of those seasons being 4 years after you cut ties with him.
Yeah, and let me be clear about my choice too, Drew Holiday. That was the team giving up on him too soon. Sam Hinkie made some good decisions, and for me, he made some tough ones. And while the decision, again, is to get two picks, a top six pick for Nerlens Noel, and then a pick later on the following season, or at least a first-round pick, and we know it was all protected and all these things. But in general, I just thought that they gave up on Drew Holiday too soon. He was a young player that could have still built with the squad, and yes, they wanted to lose because they wanted an opportunity to get a top pick. And if you say, do you prefer Drew Holiday or Ben Simmons? Most people are going to say Ben Simmons, but it's okay to want both of them on the same team. That's why they tried to get him back to play with Ben Simmons, to play in the backcourt with Ben Simmons, to give him someone who can handle the ball and not have all the responsibility on Simmons while he's on the floor. So there's that. Chatley says on Twitter, the answer for many should be Sean Couturier. Not me, though. Always believed in his abilities. That is Brendan here on Twitter speaking about Sean Couturier, saying that many people gave up on him too soon and he has turned out to be something.
I think people maybe gave up on when you drafted him eighth overall, you thought he dropped and you're like, okay, he's going to be an elite two-way center. And at a certain point, you thought, okay, he's kind of the shutdown center. You put him up against other teams' top line. You're probably not going to get that high ceiling on the offensive side. And then you realize you put him with more talented offensive players. He's no longer with the Steve Downies and the Matt Reeds, who were good for third-line players, but there's certainly a huge difference between playing with those guys and playing with a guy like Claude Giroux.
Okay, let me give you now the one that I gave up on too soon that was a local player and very recent and is still an active player here in Philadelphia, and some believe the most important along the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, Jason Kelce.
That's a good one.
Here's why. Right around, 15 and 16, it looked like he was just too small and he lost it. These nose tackles were just the defense, they were just moving him. Moving him. And it only seemed like he was effective once he got to the second level. And while he is still effective getting to the second level, he is back to his old self. So I liked him. I liked him. My thing was, all right, he is not that player anymore because they are just too big and too fast now across from him on that line of scrimmage, and he can no longer hold up at the point of attack. Once he snaps that football, he is already being pushed back into the pocket, into the lap of the quarterback. That's problematic. They have to do something about this. He returns that 17 season. Everything clicked for the team. He was Jason Kelce again, and he has since been Jason Kelce going forward. One of the best centers in the league, an all pro, someone that we still want on this team every year, even though the reports are, is he going to retire? Is he not going to retire? Yes, you need to draft the center, but only because he is that good, not because he no longer has it. So for me, yes, it was already out there, but I'm saying it, a player that I gave up on too soon, even though I was a supporter and a fan of him before, I thought he lost it in 15-16. He came back with a vengeance in 17, has not let up since. Jason Kelce was mine.
That's a really good one, too, because if you remember, we were kind of earmarking Sam Malu for that position. We're like, all right, we got the center of the future. It looks like Kelsey's declining. Give that position away. And he plays one of the more important positions along the line. No disrespect to the guard play and everything, but the center, when you pair that with the tackles, really the anchors of the line. I mean, you make arguments every year whether he's actually the best offensive lineman on this team, and we're talking about a team that has Lane Johnson, had Jason Peters, and then also Brandon Brooks, who unfortunately they lost recently.
No, absolutely right, man. So, yeah, I'll call myself out on that one. Player I gave up on too soon is arguably one of the best Philadelphia Eagles of all time on the offensive line for sure. 610-632-0975, Eagles5211 on Twitter. Brandon Graham. Again, Brandon Graham once again. I think Edward Philvey can't be right. Danny Watkins? No. You did not give up on Danny Watkins too soon. And neither did the team. They did not give up on Danny Watkins too soon. All right? No. 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 Christian on Twitter says, Joe Blanton. They gave up on Joe Blanton too soon? You know, I mean, he was still okay, but I don't know if they gave up on him too soon. Yes, he was around for a while. He had some success still in the league. Did they give up on him too soon? Nah. But for you, okay. That's your call. That's your call, definitely. And by the way, Elbow Shaferi says, in all likelihood, keeping Holiday means no Embiid. It's a possibility. All likelihood. Might be. You just hope that they were lucky enough where it didn't hurt them in general, Brian, where they still had an opportunity to select one of the top players. And again, I pointed out, they wanted to lose games. They wanted to make sure, I said this, they wanted to lose games to get them, give themselves an opportunity to top draft pick where they're able to snatch one or two of these people that turned out to be one of the greatest, right? A franchise player. I get it. I was just a fan of Jrue Holiday, and they gave up on him too soon. 610-632-0975. Let me see. No different if he was lost to a knee or ankle injury. All right. That had to do with the COVID-19 in the playoffs and the NHL and the NBA was returning to play during the pandemic. Worth it? That was our main question. It remains so. Is it worth sports returning with all of the things that we continue to hear with the concerns with the NHL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball? 610-632-0975. And a player you gave up on too soon in honor of Markelle Fultz, drafted 2017 on this date, June 22nd, 2017. Sixers selected Markelle Fultz first overall, traded him at the deadline last season, for Jonathan Simmons. Some were frustrated by it. Some said it was the right move. Did they give up on him too soon? Who did you give up on too soon? Teams as well. 610-632-0975. We're with you until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, Devon Givens. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with 3 locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Josh Rabick producing. A player that you gave up on too soon. Markelle Fultz, drafted by the Sixers 2017 on this date. He's having some success in Orlando. He may not be an all-star, but he's having success since he has now been handed the reins as the point guard, the man with the ball in Orlando. Player that you may have given up on too soon. 610-632-0975. It seems like I might have struck a nerve with some people on this Jason Kelce thing. Listen, I wasn't the only one. We saw it. Come on. We saw it. It's being used to push back. It was what it was. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Drew in Westchester on the Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Yo, what's going on, Devon? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there on a Monday night. So I was talking with Josh about players who we gave up on too soon, and I was talking to him about a hockey guy. But I'll go football with you. And actually, two guys came to mind, but one that first jumped to my head was Marshawn Lynch. I think that
from Buffalo. Oh, yeah.
they dropped the ball and that sent him up to Seattle because, I mean, once he went to Seattle, he was all beast mode, remember?
Yeah, man.
And then another one I thought that, and this just kind of came out of the top of my head, was in basketball when the Oklahoma, I think it was Oklahoma Thunder, had to choose between, you know, keeping Harden and Westbrook and Durant together, and they let Harden go. And then we saw what Harden did out in Houston once he went on out on his own. So I think that was another one that, I'm not necessarily that they gave up on him. It might have been more a situational type deal, like what I was talking about with Josh, with the hockey guy I was mentioning.
They could have made that happen. They didn't want to go too high with him.
Right.
And eventually they may have had to decide between Harden and Westbrook. And you could argue that Harden and Durant were the better pairing than Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. And I like all three. And I'm a big Russell Westbrook guy. But you could argue, again, that Harden was probably the better player to be paired with Kevin Durant based on their skill sets in general. But they had an opportunity. If you remember this, Houston gave him like an $80 million contract when they traded for him. The Oklahoma City Thunder had offered him, let's say, like 50, between 50 and 60. And Drew, they said that when they offered it to him, if I remember this correctly, he had until like 2 hours from now to give them a yes or no on the $54 to $60 million that they offered. He was like, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And then they traded
him. Yeah, I do the same thing.
And it was in a preseason. Well, it was right before the season started. He went to Houston, and I think he dropped like 50 in his first game, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know like his whole head. I'm not huge on basketball, but I just know that guy is money. And, if they could have worked a way to keep those three together, I think they would have been holding up the trophy than rather who else it was that year or the next year.
Yeah, that would have been interesting, man. No doubt.
All right, buddy.
All right, man. Be cool, man. That's a good one. Drew, that's a good one. James Harden and Marshawn Lynch that Seattle gave up. Buffalo gave up one more. People forget Marshawn Lynch was in Buffalo. He was drafted by the Bills. And they gave up on him, and he goes to Seattle. Beast mode.
Typical Buffalo, though. I mean, Buffalo's, you know, a little bit on the come up, but they're almost like a Cleveland plus.
Buffalo?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Allen disappointed me in that playoff game. I know young players, in their first opportunity, sometimes they fail. He looked so good against the Colts in the first half, and then I don't know what happened. He got tight. He started making some really, really boneheaded decisions down the stretch of that game. Remember where it was a fumble and it was going backwards and he almost threw it right in their hands. Or he did. He did twice. It wasn't all on him, but he was terrible in that second half of that game.
You talk about a guy that has a lot of the physical check marks. Josh Allen does, but there's a lot of things with the quarterback position he still needs to progress with, especially his accuracy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But the athleticism, the ability to run with the football, a dual threat, if you will, once he really starts to put it together, has Stephon Diggs now as a receiver with Cole Beasley and others in Buffalo, they could be. They could be someone that is going to make some noise in the AFC. Could be. Oh, 610-632-0975. Josh Allen. But they're not going to give up on him yet. Not just yet.
I'm more of a Sam Darnold guy, but yeah, he's good.
Where did I see he was working out with? I read something. He was working out with Saquon Barkley and some other players. Yes, in the NFL. Is now saying that they are stopping those workouts because players are coming down with the coronavirus.
Smart move.
Did you see the photo of the Philadelphia Eagles, Fletcher Cox, and all the defensive linemen?
No, I did not.
I'm sitting there, and I'm like, when are people going to start to attack these guys the way that we saw the Dallas Cowboys? Now, it was early. What are you guys doing? Des Bryant, Prescott, was Ezekiel with them at that time? They had like four or five people in the photo. You remember this. And we were destroying them. Yes, it is months later. But there were at least 15 Philadelphia Eagles in that picture. And I'm like,
I think you're right, though. I think it's a matter of the timing of everything.
Okay.
Because think about how everything was a few months back. Everything was closed. Even Florida was kind of closed down at that time. Now,
a lot of Philadelphia sports fans, what are they doing? They're going to the Jersey Shore now. So it's almost a little hypocritical to be walking around the boardwalk right. or going to the beach without your mask, which most of them are
right.
doing. And then also looking at the Philadelphia Eagles players and going like, come on.
Now, to be fair, they did this a few weeks ago where they were working out with Fletcher Cox in his gym. And the same with Carson Wentz throwing to Jalen Reagor and Arthaga Whiteside, some others, where they were together in Texas. To be fair, it seems like they're okay. We haven't gotten any updates that they've tested positive for coronavirus or anything. So, to be fair, again, the timing might be the whole key here. But I was just like, kind of close. I know you guys have been around each other, but I'm just that guy right now with the mask and continuing to stay safe overall than, you know, taking these photos together.
But it's definitely a hesitation moment for sure.
For me, it was. For me, it was. I didn't read any comments, though, that said otherwise. But it was good to see the guys together and trying to do their best to stay in shape, get that work in. The leaders were there, and Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox. Malik Jackson saw him there. Derek Barnett was there, needed to be there. Yes, I'm hard on him. Maybe I'm going to give up on him too soon, but he is one that I think a lot of people know that I'm pointing my finger at him a lot.
So people were harder on your Jason Kelce take than the photo of the linemen together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was right with the Jason Kelce thing in 15, 16. And I think he might have had some injuries at that time also, but he just wasn't himself.
Yeah, and people like to play revisionist history when they look back on it. They're like, oh, well, I see how Kelce bounced back. Just like when Wentz went down, everybody knew Foles was going to carry the Eagles to this level that we didn't see before.
Right, absolutely.
It's the same thing.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975. Did the Dallas Mavericks give up on Steve Nash too soon? Hall of Famer, two-time MVP. He may not have turned out to be the MVP, but who's to say that they may not have won one title more than they did with Steve Nash running side by side with Dirk Nowitzki? The 7 seconds or less offense put out there by Mike D'Antoni worked for him. That system worked with Stoudemire, Sean Marion, Quentin Richardson, Joe Johnson, all of these guys, Jason Richardson. It all worked out. I know. But that's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a what if thing when we speak about teams giving up on players too soon. Did they give up on Steve Nash a little bit too soon? Did the Oklahoma City Thunder give up on James Harden too soon? Absolutely. Absolutely. 610-632-0975. I still say they gave up on Tyson Chandler that trade too soon, even though his foot was all messed up and he failed the physical. I think that would have led to a title. That's just me as a basketball fan. We'll get into this stuff with NASCAR and Bubba Wallace. Cannot be ignored. We're going to discuss it when we get back. 610-632-0975. People, it continues to happen. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon. We'll talk about it when we return right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic. Mike Missanelli, afternoons from 2 to 6. Google me.
Plug in.
97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
What is this? 8 o'clock. 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm sorry, I just don't know that one. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that one. That's why I said, what is this? Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens. 610-632-0975. So, all right. All right. I'm ready.
I'd rather not touch that and just let you go.
I don't know. I just didn't know that one. What was that? Do you know what that was?
I only do because it's in front of me. In Your Eyes, The Weeknd.
Is that okay? I mean, of course I know The Weeknd, but I just didn't know that particular song. All right. I'm not up on my...
Well, there's a couple right things in here that might be like Tupac, where I know the song, but without the lyrics, I'm kind of like...
Tupac. Huh? Okay, yeah. All right, I just didn't know that one. All right, my bad. I'm sorry. My apologies. Bubba Wallace, today, let's just start with today and kind of go in reverse. NASCAR drivers and pit crew members, others, along with others, walked alongside Bubba Wallace and helped guide the number 43 car that he drives in a show of support at the Talladega Speedway just a day after, I think we all know the news now, that a noose was found in his garage. That was a great thing that all of those guys did. It was really cool to see that. While it was really cool to see that, you don't want to see that because of this. So let me give you NASCAR's statement. We are angry and outraged and cannot state strongly enough how seriously we take this heinous act. We have launched an immediate investigation and we'll do everything we can to identify the persons responsible and eliminate them from the sport. That is a statement from NASCAR. After, of course, a noose being found in the garage of Bubba Wallace. And Bubba Wallace is a driver who is, right, mixed. He's a black guy. And there, again, is no place for this. So today, he finishes, what does he finish? 14th, I think it was. He finished 14th, I think it is, that I just read. In the race and post race, well, first of all, after they helped him guide the car, he stood and took a selfie with hundreds of people behind him in a selfie. It is a great photo showing the support. But again, why does he have to take that photo? Why does he say he's doing his post-race interview, finishing 14th, his best career Talladega finish? His quote, "Sorry I'm not wearing my mask. I wanted to show whoever it was, you're not taking away my smile." And of course, you love that. You love that. Stand up for who you are. Stand up for what you believe in. He has worn a Black Lives Matter shirt. He has had it now placed onto his car, his 43 car. And again, to go back to everything that we talked about now for the past few weeks, there's something every single day. Every single day. Natasha Cloud, she decides she's skipping the 2020 season, defending her title with the Washington Mystics, 22 games that the WNBA will have, plus the playoffs, because she feels like there is more than just basketball that she's supposed to be out there doing and helping out in society, helping fight against the racism in this world and in this country. This man, going about his business, doing his job because he's great at racing cars, seriously, just because he decides he wants to let everybody know that Black Lives Matter and the I Can't Breathe t-shirt was something that he wanted to support and show his support with everyone out there volunteering their time to peacefully protest and go out there and use their voices and let their voices be heard about the Confederate flag and on and on and on. And they decide, whoever it was, to just place a noose in this man's garage just because he's a black man and he's supporting what people are doing. This is why we continue to have these conversations as uncomfortable as they are. Period. This is it. This is it. And this is why you have to continue to do this, to continue to have these conversations. They're uncomfortable. Yes, you go to sports to get away from things, but guess what? It bleeds back into sports. Colin Kaepernick, Sterling Brown with the Milwaukee police that people forget about, where he still has a lawsuit against the Milwaukee, is it Milwaukee, Wisconsin police? I don't remember which one it was, but the way he was treated. Tabo Cephalosha, as a, yes, he, you know, he's from not in this country, but his skin is light skin. He's like my complexion. So he looks like a black man. I think I can't remember if he broke his ankle. Josh, you remember, or do you mind looking up Tabo Cephalosha, NYPD? I can't remember if he broke his ankle or like tore his Achilles or ripped up his ACL. I can't remember what it was, but this is again why we have these conversations. This is why. So he has on the I Can't Breathe Black Lives Matter t-shirt. Now all of a sudden, because this man decides that he wants to show his support, NASCAR banning the Confederate flag from races, and he was outspoken. I mean, he's outspoken about it. People losing their minds because they can't have it on their car.
Okay, it says here on an ESPN article that it was a broken right fibula and ligament damage as well.
Okay, I knew it was something bad that he had to rehab, and me now having some issues with my fibula. You know, that's not easy to come back from. I mean, so, and because they take him down the way they take him down, Tabo Cephalosha, when they were in New York. So, I mean, guys, I want to know what you think about everything that has now happened over the last couple of days. NASCAR, once again, putting out the statement. Bubba Wallace putting out his statement. And today, the drivers and the pit crews and all of that, everyone out there standing up with Bubba Wallace and showing, wow, this is not acceptable in today's society. It's still going on. It is still something that happened. It's despicable. Just the hatred overall that people have for others. It is out there. It is simply out there. We're still seeing videos of people. I just watched a video of this group, some sort of rally, Confederate flags, and this woman was saying, I hate y'all. This is her saying, this is what she said, I hate y'all, and I'm going to teach my grandkids to hate y'all too. All right, what are we supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? You know, what are you supposed to do? It's just an ugly thing.
And the nerve-wracking thing when you go back to NASCAR and everything, I mean, we do know that, and I don't want to just go across the board and just say all NASCAR fans are this way, because they're not. But there is a little bit more of a reputation, especially down south, mm-hmm. where there's a lot more NASCAR fans compared to, say, the NBA, where there are racist-like tendencies. So there's going to be a long way to go. And that's probably the pit in the stomach feeling, because this happens with the noose in the past couple of days. And now all of a sudden you're thinking, well, what's going to be next? Because you don't think it's going to be incident free going forward.
It's just tough, man. And apparently his mother, Bubba Wallace's mother, spoke. She opened up about it, said that was a cowardly act and they fear you. They fear you. That's why they do. Or have done what they've done. And in this case, too, let me ask you this. In this case, all these people out there helping guide the 43 car for Bubba Wallace today. And again, he finished 14th, so spoke afterwards. Crowd is going crazy and all. 26 years old. The person who did it, they're doing their investigation. It can't be easy to get into those garages. And you hate to say this, but chances are that someone within the NASCAR community that was able to get in there, do what they did, and start this whole thing up. And my question is, if that is the case, was that person out there walking, right? And acting as if nothing happened? They wanted to make it seem as if things are just normal, So let's go out there and walk, because we don't want to make it seem like we're guilty for not participating in this to help this guy out. They're doing this. I can't wait. I can't wait to find out. I hope we find out. I do.
Yeah, and you hope it's not just a PR move. Obviously, part of this is a PR move, goodwill intended and everything like that. But, I mean, you just have to hope that this doesn't happen again, one. But two, like you said, how did it happen? Because you have less fans, a lot less fans at these races where maybe you could have thought, okay, a breach in security. Now the way things are closed off, the restrictions, you can't help but just at least throw the idea out there. Did it come within the NASCAR community?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, man. And I'll be honest, it's crazy because my aunt growing up, she likes NASCAR. She likes that. You know, I'd be like, yo. She won't watch a game with me, but she'll watch NASCAR. She supports, you know, of course, my career and everything that I'm doing. She'll listen to the show all day long. She'll be like, all right, what are we talking about today? What were you talking about? What is this? What happened? All this stuff. She would be like, oh, we're watching this again. Yes, we're watching this again. But she just, you know, she loved NASCAR. I could never get into it. I would watch it and be like, all right, this is enough for me. I'm done. I think he has a lot of new fans. I think NASCAR has a lot of new fans. About to find me some Bubba Wallace gear now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I mean, you think about what Tiger Woods did to elevate the sport of golf, something that didn't have a traditional mainstream audience, and we still know what he does to this day.
Uh-huh.
I mean, NASCAR doesn't have the traditional mainstream audience. I mean, I pulled up the ESPN app, and it was below WWE on the tabs. That's kind of ridiculous, and that's almost insulting. But also, at the same time, he's going through a lot, but if he can bring more eyeballs to this...
Yes.
I mean, this can be really, really good.
That is true, too. That is true, too. Yeah, he'll bring eyeballs to the sport, potentially, because of this whole thing. Maybe those who did not know about him, they'll now know. He already has endorsements. Of course, he's with Petty Sports, right? Isn't that correct? Is it Petty Sports? I think so. But, I mean, you know, they have sponsors all over the place. You know, I'm looking at him right now on his gear, Coca-Cola, Chevy, McDonald's, ST, plenty of stuff. He might have to make room for more patches now that people are going to want to jump in and back him and support him because of this.
You get those yellow arches behind you. You're unstoppable.
Oh, you know you're good when you get those. Yeah, you know you're good. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. We were asking to start things off overall on the show. Is it worth sports returning with everything that's happening? And by the way, Richard Petty attended today's race at Talladega to stand with Bubba Wallace, and he is 82 years of age. I'm reading this tweet from Marty Smith, ESPN, has not attended a race since COVID-19 halt. Sources told Petty, commented, the most important thing for me right now is hugging my driver. Hugging my driver.
I did see the photo. He looks good for 82.
There you go. It's good. Good to see him out there. Good to have him out there. But again, we started things off tonight asking, is it worth sports returning with everything that is happening at the top of the show? Right away, as we were doing our open, Major League Baseball news came up where the players rejected the latest league proposal of 60 games. Then Bob Nightingale of USA Today came out and said that it is being the owners, Board of Governors in Major League Baseball now hoping that Rob Manfred enforces that 54 to 60 games on the players now and see what happens. The players have said publicly on social media, tell us when and where. Okay, you've rejected this. 33-5 was the number, right? Jeff Passan from ESPN, 33-5 was the voting. Okay, that's the case. 54-60, what do they do? Do they come back? Do they take that 54-60? We will find out. That's the one thing that we started off with. We're now talking Bubba Wallace as well. What did you guys think? I mean, where are we supposed to go? And has he picked up any new NASCAR fans with this? Has NASCAR picked up more fans, specifically more Bubba Wallace fans, because of this ugly incident that has happened where they hang a noose in his garage with his car waiting for the race today? 610-632-0975, our side topic, Markel Fultz. Drafted on this day in 2017, first overall by the 76ers, traded in 2019. 2019 at the trade deadline for Jonathan Simmons. Not a fair trade, but the value was low. A player that you or a team has given up on too soon. We have so far Brandon Graham, Lou Williams, Nick Vucevic, Jaromir Jagr for Josh Rabik, Marshawn Lynch, James Harden. I went with Drew Holiday, the team giving up on him too soon. Yes, I know they got a nice return, but Drew Holiday is a very, very, very good player. And I gave up too soon, personally, on Jason Kelce. He has since come back and has been fantastic for the Philadelphia Eagles. The anchor of that offensive line, he may not be the best, but he might be the most important on that offensive line as the steady force in the middle at the center position. Jason Kelce was mine, and once again, I was wrong. I thought he was done. He was not. He has been fantastic. 610-632-0975. Oh, Lou Stevens on Twitter also says, Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lou. High King 67. Ryan Sandberg. He was a throw-in with Boa for a mediocre shortstop who barely lasted 3 years as a 240 hitter. Philly was coming off a World Series title in 80 and an NLDS loss in 81. The fans wouldn't have been patient with the rookie infielder. Well done, Dallas Green, taking him for Chicago. Ryan Sandberg, of course, Hall of Famer. Phillies, yes, trading in with Boa to Chicago. And now it is, of course, history. So there you go, that one. Jay says Pat Burrell. Jay gave up on Pat Burrell a little bit too soon. Okay. All right.
Pat Burrell was my favorite Philly. What? I never gave up on that guy.
Was he your favorite Philly?
Seriously? Yeah, but, well, here was the thing. So people say, really, Pat Burrell with J-Roll, Ryan Howard, Chase Utley? Well, in Reading, Pat Burrell came through right when I was in, like, fourth grade, came to my baseball camp.
Oh, did he? Okay. Yeah,
multiple autographs. He remembered me from the baseball camp. So, like, obviously he doesn't remember me to this day or anything. But as a little kid, when you see somebody who you're like, ooh, this guy's going to be good, he's a first overall pick, and he remembers you, it's one of those kind of special feelings.
Okay. I mean, that's a good one. That's a good one for you. And, you know, personal, you had your reasons and all. So, sure. I got a good one here. 2017 Foles. Okay. Of course, you know, he says, I can't believe I'll be that guy. 2017 Mick Foles. All right. 610-632-0975. And it's interesting, too, because you look back to the 2008 Phillies, when there were a lot of those guys where you were like, all right, this guy, you know, might be done. Because let's be honest, people, there have been plenty of people you felt like, you know what, trade him. Like, look at right now with Ben Simmons and how often we hear Ben Simmons with his flaws, trade Ben Simmons, trade Joel Embiid. You essentially give up on these players, right? You essentially give up on these players when you say trade Ben Simmons and trade Joel Embiid. I just can't do it. Can't do it. Chris, Dr. Kuehl, one, says, has to be Dawkins. Brian Dawkins. Has to be Brian Dawkins. They let him go. He might not have been the exact same person, right, Chris, to Brian Dawkins, but he was still Brian Dawkins, where you don't let that happen to a guy that's going to be arguably your best safety in your franchise's history. You don't do that. Suave Capo jumps back in. Ramid says, another guy Philly gave up on too soon was Nick Vucevic for stinking Spencer Halls. So that's the second vote there for Nick Vucevic, this time on Twitter. Anthony says the same thing. That's the third one for Nick Vucevic. B.Berba, Brendan. Never gave up, but the organization did. Jeff Carter, Mike Richards, and Justin Williams. All Justin Williams does is win championships. That's all Justin Williams does. Win championships. That's it. He doesn't do anything else but win championships.
And goals in big games.
Win those championships. Yes, that's all he does.
And I'll say this about Jeff Carter. I thought he developed into more of a complete player after he left the Flyers. Unfortunately, with Mike Richards, there wasn't much there too long after he left.
All right, I got a good one, or I'll wait until we take another phone call and give out. I have two pretty much right around the same time. Let's go to Coast Guard Dave on the cell. How you doing, Coast Guard Dave?
Divine, my man, smooth as warm honey.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
All right, long time no speak.
Good to hear from you, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My pick is Moses Malone, because first of all, the Sixers would not have won the championship without him. He was the most tenacious center in the league and the most consistent center, bad butt center in the league. And they traded him for Jeff Roller, which was absolutely, in my eyes, the worst trade in sports history.
Asinine. He went on still. Moses made an all-star team after that.
Yeah. So that was horrible.
Terrible. Yeah. And then you think about this one. Let me counter you with this one, Coast Guard Dave. When you say that, same time, gave up on, even though he was never actually a 76er, you gave up too soon on Brad Daugherty. The team did. Because trading away that number one pick, the opportunity, Dave, thanks for the call, to acquire Brad Daugherty, gave up on Brad Daugherty too soon. Flat out. But I'll give on the other side my two. I give my two that the Philadelphia Eagles gave up on too soon. Once again, mine was, yes, I said it, Jason Kelce. Yes, my bad. Uh-huh. Jason Kelce. I know. 610-632, but I'm man enough to put it out there. 0975, Josh Rabick, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
827 here on The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick producing here on this this fine Monday night, back from the weekend. Great to be back here with you. We've touched on a lot of different things, and we do want to hear from you, though. I want to hear from you. Josh wants to as well, about the Bubba Wallace situation. I mean, let's not run away from it. We talk about it. This is what we do. Let's talk about what has happened and where do we go from here? What were your thoughts when you first heard this whole thing with Bubba Wallace? 610-632-0975. Also, the return of sports. Is it worth it at this point with everything that they have to go through just to get these things going? The NBA has probably done the best job thus far. The NHL has been very quiet. But they did release a statement late last week. 200 tests were done on players. Well, 200 players were tested, pardon me, when they released the statement. Since they've opened back up. And since they've opened back up, 11 so far through the test, early June is when they opened back up. 11 so far has tested positive for coronavirus. And, I mean, it's not a terrible number. It's not a terrible number, but again, like we said, even though they're doing what they're doing and they're doing it the right way, it's going to be very difficult for us to simply look at things and say, well, no one is going to test positive. They're going to have positive tests. We have to live with that. The thing is, how do they go about it? The NBA does have in their entire health and safety deal that they have, they have to simply have something in place for every friend, every league, every franchise. You know, the rings, the bracelets, the separate housing. If an NBA player tests positive, where they go away for a couple of days and then come back, right? Then come back. So, is it worth coming back? I mean, they have a 100-plus page health and safety protocol. I get it. I appreciate it. But then it's like, is it worth it? Just, you know, do you just wait? Do you just wait? We're starting to get a lot more Twitter as well. By the way, Philly fan WRX says Fultz. Well, Philly fan, we're doing this because of Markelle Fultz. Traded on this day in 2017. Who have you given up on? Who have you given up on too soon? Who did the teams give up on too soon? 610-632-0975. Oh, Elbow Shaferi gives a good one. Dave Stewart? Pitcher? Right? Oakland A's fame? He was blocked in the Phillies rotation by Kevin Gross, Don Carmen, and Joe Cowley. So that was excusable. Yeah, he's still Dave Stewart, and he was very good. You're right, Brian, on that one. Dave Stewart is a very, very good one. John says, does Charlie Manuel count as a player? Well, we just said, all right, that's fine. Charlie Manuel, did you go? Did they let him go too soon, though? It was probably the right time. You think so?
I do. I also think you kind of get up there in years, unfortunately. And
you want to look out for him.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to tarnish that legacy because you knew you were going to start to rebuild stuff. Was he going to be around when things start to really turn around for you again?
Yeah.
I don't know if you had confidence in the long haul with him being there.
Yeah, I hear you. And as far as Bubba Wallace, John DiColo on Twitter says, Devon, who has access to the garages? I know zero about NASCAR, but what an absolute scumbag move. That's not even a strong enough word. With the world falling apart, it breaks my heart that someone would have that much hate in their heart. It's now or never. Hashtag change. I don't know enough. I mean, let's be honest, right? We don't. That's why we said we might gain some new Bubba Wallace fans and pay attention to NASCAR, but we don't know who has access to those garages. Pull up a story.
Neither one of us are NASCAR, you know, enthusiasts, I would say.
Correct.
But at the same time, you have to imagine it's only authorized personnel, especially right now. So you have to wonder who could possibly get past all that security and into a garage.
See, and I'm looking at my buddy here, Jabari Young. Jabari, a longtime NBA writer, has covered the Spurs, the Blazers, back to the Spurs. He is now covering sports business for CNBC. It's my guy. Says, Bubba Wallace will have me watching NASCAR like when Tiger got me to watch golf. Wasn't many courses in my neighborhood, so watching Tiger was my grassroots to golf, and now I want to learn more about the racing through watching Bubba Wallace and listening to dudes like one of the guys the Sixers gave up on too soon, Brad Daugherty. Yes, Brad Daugherty, a big NASCAR guy. Did NASCAR coverage for ESPN. Brad Daugherty. Yes. Cavs All-Star. Center, Brad Daugherty. Uh-huh. Yep. You see that? Does Bubba Wallace have some new fans out there? 610-632-0975. All right, let me give you mine. That I think the team gave up on too. No, we know gave up on him too soon. It was foolish. We talked about it a little bit, I think, on Saturday. DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy. Too soon. Chip Kelly was an idiot, and that's why it happened. Too soon.
Were there running backs that would have worked better in his system? Possibly, but LeSean McCoy was an absolute stud of a talent. And DeSean Jackson, we've talked about this before, like what this guy does to a defense. When you have that electrifying of speed, it changes the way you play the Eagles. For example, when the Patriots played the Eagles, it was a lot of cover one and cover zero. You know why? Because there wasn't anybody that could get behind the defenders. You didn't have to worry about it. It changes the way defenses play you.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I mean, listen. Hey, listen. Yeah. that's just, I mean, come on. All decade running back we're talking about here. Arguably the best in NFL Eagles history, franchise history. We know, of course, our connection with Brian Westbrook. A lot of people are like, all right, stop being biased. Yeah, I am biased. But Brian was a damn good running back. LeSean McCoy was great also. Too soon. Gave up one. All right, Jeff Passan, 4 minutes ago. Here's an update, Josh. You don't even have to look at it because I'm going to give it to you. 4 minutes ago. Major League Baseball has asked the MLB Players Association if players can report to camp by July 1 and will sign off on health and safety protocols. The union has been asked to report by 5 p.m. Tuesday. In other words, MLB is planning on a season. There you go. 5 p.m. tomorrow. See, we get the there you go and we're like, all right, that sounds great. But we have to now wait until 5 o'clock tomorrow to find out. John Heyman, MLB notes that provisions in the framework deal rejected by union will not be in place, including 1, universal DH for 2 years. That's a big deal, the DH for 2 years, right? It's interesting. It's a wrinkle in the National League that we haven't seen, except for when we have these interleague games where they go and play over in Minnesota and they're out there and you have to do it. It's a big deal. That's interesting. It's a big deal. But these things will not be in place. 2, $25 million in the player playoff pool. 3, $33 million in salary forgiveness. 4, overall earnings of 104% of prorated pay, counting playoff pool and salary forgiveness money. Well, Major League Baseball, again, as Jeff Passan pointed out, is planning on a season. Major League Baseball has asked the MLB Players Association if players can report to camp by July 1 and will sign off on health and safety protocols. The union has been asked to respond by 5 p.m. Tuesday. What will they do, folks? 610-632-0975. Do you believe that they'll do it? You know what? I say yes. This is the one thing that I'm going to be optimistic about. I think they will say yes to this.
Yeah, they also have a higher level of desperation, in my opinion, than the NHL and NBA, because you at least got most of the season for those sports. If you end up canceling this season, think of how long it's out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
We know the impact it had on the NHL after the lockout, which there were other factors that went into that as well in the 2004-2005 lockout, but it was the longest lockout in professional sports history. And we saw the impact it had on that sport. I don't think baseball could afford that because it's starting to trend a little bit more down to hockey.
Yes.
It being that kind of that weird type of sport in there that has like almost a cult of fans. So I think this was definitely a desperation move as well.
Okay. And I'll give you the statement from the Major League Baseball players a little bit earlier. This is from the Twitter account, MLB PA Communications, after we got the initial news earlier when they rejected it. Statement from the Major League Baseball Players Association. The MLBPA executive board met multiple times in recent days to assess the status of our efforts to resume the 2020 season. Earlier this evening, the full board reaffirmed the players' eagerness to return to work as soon and safely as possible. To that end, we anticipate finalizing a comprehensive set of health and safety protocols with Major League Baseball in the coming days, and we await word from the league on the resumption of spring training camps and proposed 2020 schedule. While we had hoped to reach a revised back-to-work agreement with the league, the players remain fully committed to proceeding under our current agreement and getting back on the field for the fans, for the game, and for each other. That's the statement from the Major League Baseball Players Association. So that just goes a little bit backwards to let you know what it means when they are going to the Major League Baseball and will sign off, Major League Baseball will sign off on the health and safety protocols that was presented by the MLBPA. That's in this tweet here from Jeff Passan. So it looks like we might get baseball back. This is encouraging. How about that? This is encouraging.
All right, let's go Phillies.
Yes. The union has been asked to respond by 5 p.m. Tuesday. And I'm guessing that's Eastern. All right, so that's the latest. I know you are tired of the updates. I get it. I get it. However, this is encouraging. At the very least, this is encouraging. Bob Nightingale, spring training will start July 1 with the 60-game regular season starting the weekend of July 24th through the 26th. Play ball. Josh? All right. Is it worth sports returning? Health and safety protocol first. It looks like we have baseball back. So, hey, maybe we'll get some news overall, even though this is like that encouraging news that says, yes, we are going to have baseball 24th through the 26th. That's when it's going to start that weekend. NHL, NBA following thereafter. Until 5 p.m., people will be like, all right, I'll wait and see. But this is encouraging.
You know what I mean? I'm happy.
Thank you, Byrne. This is encouraging. What do you guys think? Bob Nightingale, spring training will start July 1 with the 60-game regular season starting the weekend of July 24th through the 26th. Play ball. All right, let's take your reaction. We'll get Josh's reaction. We'll continue to talk about it. This is encouraging news. Jeff Passan also saying that, again, 5 p.m. is when they want the, or when Major League Baseball is asking the players to give them a yes or a no on what they want to do. 60-game regular season starting the weekend of July 24th through the 26th. Play ball. By the way, we're going to do this for the fans. Okay. You better put that in there. You better put that in there after everything else that's been on there. 610-632-0975. Looks like baseball, it's encouraging, it's coming back. Spring training, July 1, 24th through the 26th is when they get underway. Let's take your phone call. 610-632-0975. There's a Major League Baseball Office of the Commissioner statement. We'll give you that when we return right here on the Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
All right, looks like we might have some baseball in 2020. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick producing. 610-632-0975. Quickly, Bob Nightingale with more here on his Twitter. There still will be a universal DH in 2020 since it was already agreed upon as part of the health and safety protocols, but not in 2021. All right, let me give you Major League Baseball's statement here to share with you all and then give you exactly what was said. As I see this and I keep going through stuff, this is stuff all over the place now. John Heyman, MLB plans to implement a 60-game season provided the union agrees with the health and safety protocols and that a spring training 2.0 to start in 7 days. All right, where is it? I just had it and I lost it. You know, you just hit one thing and all of a sudden it's gone. But, all right, here's a statement. Major League Baseball issued the following statement tonight. Today, the Major League Baseball Players Association informed us that they have rejected the agreement framework developed by Commissioner Manfred and Tony Clark. Needless to say, we are disappointed by this development. The framework provided an opportunity for MLB and its players to work together to confront the difficulties and challenges presented by the pandemic. It gave our fans the chance to see an exciting new postseason format, and it offered players significant benefits, including the universal DH for 2 years, guaranteed $25 million in playoff pools in 2020, $33 million in forgiven salary advances that would increase the take-home pay of 61% of major league players. Overall earnings for players of 104% of prorated salary. Over the last 2 days, MLB agreed to remove expanded postseason in 2021 in order to address player concerns. In view of this rejection, the MLB clubs have unanimously voted to proceed with the 2020 season under the terms of the March 26th agreement. The provisions listed above will not be operative. In order to produce a schedule with a specific number of games, we are asking that the Players Association provide us by 5 p.m. Eastern tomorrow with two pieces of information. The first is whether players will be able to report to camp within 7 days by July 1st. The second is whether the Players Association will agree on the operating manual, which includes the health and safety protocols necessary to give us the best opportunity to conduct and complete our regular season and postseason. That is a statement from Major League Baseball, the Office of the Commissioner, in regards to everything with the rejection earlier in the day from the players and now agreeing to the initial agreement from the 26th. It looks like 60 games is the number here. And baseball, y'all. Baseball. Baseball, what do you guys think? Seriously, baseball looks like... Hey, I understand if you want to say, let's wait until tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern, and really have something set concrete. Baseball is back. But, this is definitely encouraging where you'll have baseball, basketball, and hockey all going at the same time. And I know where we were starting. Is it worth sports returning? You know, I still feel how I feel. That being said, when we start to get more positive things that come out of this, like Major League Baseball coming back, giving some of these things that we needed to see in the statement, it's good. It is good. Now, Can they report by July 1st? I don't see why not, right? I don't see why not. They've been saying when and where. Now, we know when and we know where at this point. So, baseball looks like it's going to be back. I think it is, I want to see, and I said this jokingly, of course, about NBA and their 100-plus safety, health and safety protocol, 100-plus pages. Yeah, all right, let's see what Major League Baseball has come up with for their health and safety protocol pages as well, because I'm sure there will be a lot of information in there. So once again, promising stuff from Major League Baseball tonight, where it looks like the 60-game season approved by the owners, this is Bob Nightingale, will become official once the union agrees to have their players start spring training July 1 and sign off on the health and safety protocols. I love 60 games. While I wanted 70 and I wanted 80, I love 60. I didn't like 48. I like 60. This is going to be something that is fast-paced. This is something I want to see how managers manage when it comes to pitchers. Are you going to go four deep rotation? Are you going to cut that fifth man rotation? Or are you going to go five early and then quickly after like two starts for the fifth guy in the rotation? All right, that's enough. This is too important. We can't go that deep. You are now a long man if we need you later on in that rotation.
And think about the fantasy element of this, because I'm not talking like fantasy sports, but just like the fantasy, like the fans talking about this. Oh, baseball is too long of a season. They need to shorten it up. When in the back of everybody's mind, you knew the owners weren't going to give up the gate for 81 home games. Now, all of a sudden, you get to see a condensed season. And if it really does bring in more eyeballs, like you said, it's more of a sprint. It's not too short like 48 would have been, but 60. Now, all of a sudden, you have a decent enough size season, but it's shorter where you go, okay, you're not lulling me to sleep midway through the season.
100%. 100%. 60 sounds like, especially where we are, especially knowing that it is the 22nd of June. You have to be there now by July 1. That will be 7 days from tomorrow, July 1. And 24th, 26th, they get underway. I mean, it's dope. That's a good number, knowing that you are going to have days off. We need to know more information about other things in terms of the travel and all the stuff that we'll get. But 60 is a good number to start off with. I believe that. 60 is a good number at this point. So, I mean, will the players accept it? I say yes. We've already been told that they would. You know, all right, let's do it. John Heyman, MLB owners, did the right thing by giving players their 60 games rather than punishing them for the rejection. Hear from players who are pleased MLB took the high road in the end on this issue. Of course, by giving them the full 60, it may also blunt a grievance to a degree. And we know about the grievance later on, the CBA concerns that could, that might potentially be there in a couple of years with all that stuff. But this is good. This is good. This is really good. 610-632-0975. Guys, looks like we're going to have baseball back. What are you? Do you like a 60-game season in Major League Baseball? You've wanted sports back. Plenty have gone to the shore and say, you know what? It's been different not being able to listen to baseball while you're on the beach and you're relaxing or just walking by someone else's place and you hear the radio or the TV in the background. Baseball looks like it's going to return. Are you good with a 60-win season for Major League Baseball and your Philadelphia Phillies? 610-632-0975. I'm with it. What do you guys think? Josh Rabick producing until 10 here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, looks like we might have baseball back. 610-632-0975, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio. Only from Comcast. Yes, only from Comcast. Josh Rabick producing, Devon Givens. Baseball might be back. And we'll be watching. Right? Xfinity Studio on the Xfinity channels. NBC Sports Philly. We'll be watching the Phillies and see what they do. All right. This is good. Hey, I'm in on this one. I really like this. I like the fact that the way things are going. I mean, I feel good about by 5 p.m. tomorrow. I do. By the way, just a quick NBA note. It looked like, I think Corey Brewer signed with the Sacramento Kings. I'm just going to look at, what's my man's name? Shams Charania. Same thing. He breaks news for the NBA. And I believe he says, yes, let me get it right here. Free agent Corey Brewer plans to sign a deal with the Sacramento Kings during the NBA's transaction window. Brewer chose the Kings over multiple potential offers. Remember, played with the Philadelphia 76ers. The one game that stands out was against the Houston Rockets when they were on, I believe it was ESPN that night, and he was just falling all over the place in that particular night. Sixers beat the Rockets. They don't lose at home, as we know. And the fans, he's a fan favorite. Fan favorite is that man. Fan favorite. All right. 610-632-0975. So that's Corey Brooks. But that's what we talked about, like J.R. Smith, Jamal Crawford. They'll be available also. And maybe the Sixers will have an opportunity to step in and acquire one of those players, along with Mario Šajak and Chris Kumajay. We'll see how that goes for the team. But the big news so far, we have to look at this. Major League Baseball, 60 games. Players have to answer by 5 p.m. tomorrow. I like it. I like it. I think they'll do it. I believe they'll do it. Get back to spring training on July 1.
One of the callers during the break, Isaac, he called up asking about what he thinks the season's going to look like as far as scheduling goes. You know, obviously, interleague play has to get scrapped because we're talking about only 60 games. But, all right, well, how many times are you going to actually play the teams in your division there? And then how many times do you get to go outside of the division? So it'll be interesting when the schedule does drop to see how that plays out.
Yeah, and at this point, I'll be honest, there's so much with the 10-team divisions that they proposed, the ones that we were looking at, how they were trying to break things up with the East Coast, with the Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, Phillies, Pirates, Mets, Braves in that, Nationals, of course.
I think the Nationals might have been in the Cactus League, and then the Braves were going to still be in the Grapefruit League, but that would have intrigued me.
Yeah, but remember when they did like the East or whatever the heck it was? I mean, they had so many of them. That's what
right.
I'm starting to lose track, and we forgot all about all of that because we were more worried about are they going to play at this point? Are they going to play? So, I mean, who in the heck knows how this is going to go and what this means for the Phillies. The Phillies have now, as we know, had some issues. Phillies have had some issues with coronavirus now. Right? They've had some issues with coronavirus. 5 players tested positive in Clearwater. Some staffers. They've had to shut down. The Toronto Blue Jays also having to deal with these issues. They've closed things down in Florida, and I wanted to say Arizona, but they've had issues in Texas as well. As a look at Jim Salisbury and Corey Seidman and their story here on NBC Sports Philly. The current CBA expires after the 2021 season, so all of this stuff, of course, could be totally different, but it's good that they were able to come to an agreement here on this particular night. Well, by 5 p.m. tomorrow, but at least a framework here where they once again have pointed out, tell us when and where and we'll be there. Tell us when and where and we'll be there. Period. So, I mean, this is a good thing to get this back, and we were talking about it all night, so it kind of makes me laugh that we were throwing the question out there, is it worth it for sports to return? But now, one more time, they have to give us a health and safety protocol that they have to agree to in order for this entire thing to happen. Yes. Entire thing to happen. So, let's see. But I think this is a good thing. And once again, just throwing it out there for everyone. What do you guys think? Is this thing working? Worth it? Is it worth it? 610-632-0975. Do you like the proposal that will potentially be out there with the 60 games overall for the MLB players, the teams, and all? Because I do like it. I didn't like 48. I prefer 70 and 80. But right now, it's probably just simply too much for them to do. Simply too much for them to do. So right now, this is what we get. This is what we'll take. And I think it's going to be an exciting, once they get out there, I think it's going to be an exciting run for Major League Baseball. This is going to be good. How good is the baseball going to be? Well, they're going to have a couple of weeks starting July 1 up to the 24th, weekend of the 24th through the 26th. As I look at the calendar here for the next month of July, 24th is a Friday. So that will be the first weekend, 24th, 25th, and 26th of July. So that will be definitely a good thing for Major League Baseball. I like this. I'm encouraged now. I'm simply encouraged now for this to happen. I am. All right. What do you guys think? Where are you on this entire thing? Because I think they're in a good place now. I do. Take the 60 and let's just go. Get it out there. Let's make it happen. And get this thing rolling. 60-game season. We'll know by 5 p.m. tomorrow. And it'll probably leak out of what the players are going to do. One of these beat reporters are going to put something out there. It's going to leak that they are, in fact, going to accept everything with the health and safety protocol. And they'll go from there. So, the question is, though, is the spring training going to take place in their host cities? Right? Wasn't that also one of the stories that they would be, like, the Phillies would come back to Philadelphia, potentially. Just like the Sixers are going to Camden. And the Utah Jazz are going back to Utah. Toronto is one team that's going to Florida right away. But I think it's Philadelphia for them. I really do. I think they're going to be in Philadelphia. So, all right, you know, that'll be good. The only question is, what are they going to do with the players that have, in fact, been infected with coronavirus?
Yeah, it's less tidy than the NBA's plan. I know the NBA's plan, you can poke holes in it and everything like that, but that sport, it's easier to create a bubble. Whereas with some of these other sports, you have bubbles or you essentially are having players at home who are going to be there with other athletes and then go back home to their family. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a little bit dicier.
All right. I mean, they have a lot to put, and I'm sure that they've already done this stuff. They just have to dot some I's, cross some T's, and all of that stuff to make sure everything is done properly. But I really do. I like. It shouldn't have gotten to this. Should not have gotten to this, but here we are. So look, I'm patting them on their backs, but that's like a. You know, one of those harder pat on the backs, like it's about time. But where they are, I mean, it's pretty good. And what does this mean for the Philadelphia Phillies also?
And in hindsight, you see how much leverage the players actually had, because they were fine with I'm not going to say fine, but they were willing to walk away from the table and there not be a season if they didn't get what they asked for. Mm-hmm. They truly meant that, and they've proven that by the times that they've walked away from the table. The owners, the way they pleaded to Rob Manfred, has kind of shown that they wanted a season and they were concerned about their bottom line and what they could lose. If they were concerned about prorated contracts and no fans in the stadiums, they were certainly concerned about possibly the loss of TV money if there's actually not games being played.
Okay, yeah. It's still frustrating, but again, it's good to have it back. If this is in fact finally over and they've agreed. Once again, it did not have to come to this because it was really simple. Coronavirus, COVID-19, ruined things. You were going to be the first ones to return. You were going to have the fans' support as long as everyone was healthy and, once again, the safety protocols were out there. And they allowed this to happen. So they do have to still... They do have to still cross some hurdles for the fans. While they'll be the first back, hockey and basketball right after, they still have to kind of... give the fans something. They can't do it in the buildings because the stadiums are all going to be closed. The ballparks, unavailable. You can't go in there. But they have to give the fans something. And I guess really the only thing that you have to go out there and do, one thing you have to go out there and do is simply go out there and play. Everybody has an opportunity here. So go play. And really go play. No dog in it. Go play. All right, what do you think about the Phillies in this? I have to throw this at you.
So you and I talked about this ESPN article I was looking at before the show, and it was talking about players that were going to be 27
yes,
years of
did.
Age that were going to miss out on their 27-year-old deal, and at least on their deal while they're 27. And Bryce Harper's the biggest name. Rhys Hoskins is another name where we're looking for him to bounce back. Aaron Nola, another 27-year-old. There's a bunch of 27-year-olds, and in non-steroid era baseball, 26, 27, 28, this is kind of the peak right now. And you have to wonder, with that big contract for Harper, you eliminate one of those monster possible years. It's going to make that contract not look as good. Obviously, we at least get to see what it looks like right now, a little bit of Harper this year.
Yeah. All right. One more thing, just to update people who may not have heard and just tuning in and saying, what is going on with Major League Baseball? Well, it looks like they're going to have a season tomorrow. They are at the Major League Baseball is asking the players to give them an answer by 5 p.m. tomorrow if they are going to accept the 60-game season, something that was agreed upon back in March when we have to put thing on pause. Right now, they're going to take that when they rejected the offer earlier in the day. So they're taking this one and they're running with it. I'm looking at John Heyman again. Just a few of the things that he has out there. MLB asked the union for two things again by tomorrow. Can the players get to spring training in 7 days? That will be July 1. And will players agree on operating manual that lays out the health and safety protocols for the 2020 season? 60-game season, provided the union agrees with the health and safety protocols and that a spring training 2.0 will start in 7 days. So, all right. We got some baseball. 610-632-0975, Devon Givens, Josh Rabick producing, here with you on 97.5 The Fanatic on this Monday night. I wanted to give just a few more things also in regards to the NBA. There was the information out there that NBA players will have the opportunity to opt out of playing in the Orlando bubble when the NBA returns. They have to do that by Wednesday to let their teams know. The NBA's transaction period for all 30 teams starts tomorrow at noon Eastern to allow teams to make decisions. Corey Brewer has already decided to join the Sacramento Kings, who will be in the bubble. Davis Bertans of the Washington Wizards, who had a fantastic year for the Wizards, even though the season for them as a team, not very good. Davis Bertans had a fantastic year for the Wizards, and instead of opting in and going to play for the Wizards in that bubble where they have no shot, they're going to have the 8 games and they're out. He has decided to pass on those regular season games, forfeit a few $100,000 because he is a free agent after the season and he does not want to risk injury during those 8 games. So he's going to pass on the NBA season. Trevor Ariza looks like he's also out of the Portland Trailblazers, a veteran pickup for the Blazers, right around the trade deadline for the stretch run of the season, especially if they got to the postseason, adding another wing. He is opting out to spend a month with his son in a custody thing with his son's mother. He has an opportunity to spend some time with his son, so he decided that he is not going to participate in the bubble either. The Blazers and the Pelicans are both, I believe, 3.5 games behind the Memphis Grizzlies for the 8th spot in the Western Conference playoffs. So, developments overall, they may not be that big, like Avery Bradley, Dwight Howard, Lou Williams, because of the championship aspirations for the Lakers and the Clippers, but still big enough that these need to be discussed and reported because they have until Wednesday to get this out there. And these two players have jumped ahead of everything and put their names already out there and letting the teams know that they will not be playing in the bubble.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought you brought up the Wizards as a team that you were kind of looking at as, let's see if some of these players
end up backing out because of the position that they were in. When you're what were they, 16 games below 500? There's no thought of, okay, you squeak into the playoffs and what, you're going to take on the Bucks eventually and you're going to house the Bucks?
No, so you're talking 8 games and 4 games in the playoffs because they would get swept, right? They would get swept. So 12 games tops.
Yeah, that's like being in, it's like a boxing match. When you're in a fight, you lose 11 rounds, you're getting dominated in. Put the mouthpiece in, going into that 12th round, it's kind of, at one point, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, and it is one of those what's the point things, and I'm curious to see if some of these others do it as well. I'm curious. I'm very, very curious if there are going to be others that drop out, period. There are. LaMarcus Aldridge decided on surgery. Spurs aren't going to win out West. Let me have surgery and get ahead of everything for the start of the 2021 season. I'm not messing around in the Orlando bubble for this. I don't know about any Sixers. When I had the chance to speak to Glenn Robinson III, he was excited to get back. He said he and his teammates in their Zoom calls are excited to get back. I don't know that any of them are going to opt to stay away from the bubble. They have a chance to come out of the East, or at least make noise in the East where they can catch fire, and they need all hands on deck in order to do so. So this one is probably going to be one of those deals where it's for the greater good of the team. Everybody's going to be there. Everybody's going to go along with all the protocols set out by the league and the team and do their part. And do their part. So we'll get some NBA news with everything opening back up. The big thing, of course, now, as the show has been going on, is Major League Baseball coming back. And, I mean, hey, it's going to be exciting, I think. And I'm looking forward to it. Elbow Shaferi says, I, for one, would have been psyched to see Scott Brooks hack a Giannis strategy for 4 games. Yeah, he might miss some of those free throws. You're right about that. Back off and make him shoot threes, but you know how dangerous that can be when you allow that to happen. And he'll start driving to the basket on you and just dunking and then getting to the free throw line for and ones. So, but I hear you, Brian. I totally understand. And we still have some people that have sent us a lot of tweets about players that were given up on too soon. Here's a good one from the Philadelphia Eagles in the 90s, Chris Carter. But it was for the right reasons. He has already said that Buddy Ryan basically saved his life by cutting him because of the drug issues at the time with Chris Carter. Was it drug or alcohol? Basically, the issues that he had off the field that Buddy Ryan saved his life. So while it's a good one, and he turned out to be one of the best wide receivers. One of the best wide receivers. It was drug and alcohol? Okay. All right. Buddy Ryan saved his life. So gave up on him for the right reasons. For the right reasons. Yes, 610-632-0975. Major League Baseball looks like it's going to return. What do you guys think about the return of baseball for 60 games? Is that the right amount? How interested are you going to be in those games? Where are the Philadelphia Phillies for you? I'm serious, man. I want to see if they cut down on these 5-man rotations and straight up go with 4. You know what I'm saying? I want to see if they go with 4. What are they going to do with the DH is available for this one because they agreed on it. So no pitchers, right? That's cool. They have some flexibility here. Joe Girardi has. Let's see how good Joe Girardi is. Yeah, 60 games, my man.
When it comes down to it in the playoffs, you see them shorten into 3-man rotations at times where you have guys going on 3 days rest. So it's a good point. Less games. You get in a playoff race. Are you tightening up that rotation?
Yep. A lot of Jay Bruce out there. DH. That's your choice? Would that be your choice?
I'd personally like to see Reese Hoskins eventually go to that DH spot, but I mean, right now, probably.
At least to start things off, that's probably where they'll go. Flexibility later on, but right away, yeah, my goodness, Mike Tyson training again? We talked about this before, but man, he's still Mike Tyson. 610-632-0975. We'll let you know about, again, the quarterback who looked like he signed a franchise tender. How do the Philadelphia Eagle fans feel about this one? So we'll get to that when we get back. Baseball on the table, of course, for sure. And player you may have given up on too soon. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens. That is Josh Rabick. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Quarterback, we've known over the past couple of months where the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott have been trying to sign a long-term deal or trying to get each other to agree on a deal, right? Has not happened. Has yet to happen. So, today, you know, a lot of talk has been out there that they would potentially sign him to a deal. He would agree to a deal. He would not. Tenders involved. They go out there and they get Andy Dalton to put some pressure on him. All this stuff. Well, according to many reports out there, I'm looking at Ian Rappaport now, though, quarterback Dak Prescott has signed his $31.409 million exclusive franchise tag per Hellman DC a few days after the team ended its virtual offseason. He's locked in for 2020, though the two sides aren't close on a long-term deal. They have until July 15th to get that ironed out. So, no matter how you feel about Dak Prescott, he is going to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys for the 2020 season. He's had success against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles have had success against him as well. And he's a good quarterback. He scares you, when he gets hot, but all quarterbacks, when they get rolling, you have concerns about when the Philadelphia Eagles are playing them. So it's one of those things with the Dallas Cowboys that, hey, man, he has weapons. They added CeeDee Lamb. They already have the group of wide receivers that they had in place for the Cowboys. Offensive line is good. Ezekiel Elliott is great. They have their defensive issues, but if they can put up a lot of points and have teams play from behind, they're going to be in good shape. I personally have them at the top of the NFC East with the Philadelphia Eagles trailing right behind them. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think that they're the be-all, end-all, the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think that they're a Super Bowl team. I just think they're the best team in the NFC East, and I still believe the Philadelphia Eagles are right behind. I have the Eagles right now on the outs of the playoffs, but they can certainly make their way in. There are always surprises with things. But Dallas Cowboys have their quarterback for another year, $31.4 million under a franchise exclusive tender.
It's weird. They find themselves in an interesting situation, don't you think, where Dak Prescott, we can admit it, put bias aside, he's a good quarterback. Do I think he's really good to great? No. And that's the dilemma there, where you have to pay him top-tier franchise quarterback money because that's how the NFL works. Mm-hmm. But then you kind of almost find yourself in a Matt Stafford in Detroit type of situation where you can look at the guy and say, he's a good quarterback. You can't move on from a quarterback of that caliber until you find a quarterback that you think could replace him. But at the same time, when you lock yourselves into that top-tier quarterback money and you're not getting the top-tier quarterback play, that's where you start to lose a little bit of value.
And you give the money to Cooper, you give the money to Ezekiel Elliott, and now you are forced to give maybe the money to the quarterback as well. And when you talk about putting that pressure on him, yes, they brought Andy Dalton in there to be a backup quarterback, of course. The man has had some good seasons, some really good seasons. Despite what has happened in Cincinnati, him never winning in the postseason, he's gotten them along with A.J. Green, Gio Bernard, that defense, Geno Atkins, and Marvin Lewis is the head coach. He has gotten them to the postseason many times. He can play. Give him weapons, and I think he's a good quarterback, Andy Dalton.
And here's the other thing to factor in as well, Jamal Adams. I mean, we know the interest with Dallas, and Adam Schefter put out something today, and I know Pat Egan retweeted as well. You can't pay Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper. You can't pay them top for their position type of money and then also grab Jamal Adams, who wants to be a top defensive paid player. You just can't.
No. Will the owner decide, though, that he can?
If he can, bye-bye Dak.
Right, right. What would you prefer? Andy Dalton and something else with Jamal Adams, or no Jamal Adams and Dak Prescott long-term?
I won't insult Dak Prescott like that. I'll give him the props of he's a huge upgrade from Andy Dalton.
He is, but Jamal Adams is, I guess it's just a matter of what you prefer, Jamal Adams or that quarterback, where he can be your franchise quarterback, but is he really that good enough to be, to your point of Stafford, that franchise quarterback? 610-632-0975. And then I'm looking at Jennifer Joyce, our friend from Fox 29 on Twitter. New Jersey pools, hair salons, tanning facilities, barbershops, nail salons, tattoo parlors, and more. Open. Open. We spoke about the manicures and the pedicures. That place is going to start to fill up. Now, they're probably going to have some safety and protocols, the people who own those shops. They're going to have their protocols. But, all right, this stuff is starting to open up. Gyms maybe next or already happened in New Jersey. I'm not sure. We can ask Jasper, who's in Sicklerville. But slowly, things are starting to open back up. I'm not sure. I'll get a haircut. I'm not doing the other stuff. Obviously, I don't need a hair salon or a tattoo tanning facility. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to a pool. I'm out. Baseball, though, looks like it might be back. 60 games. The players have until 5 p.m. tomorrow to agree to it with the Major League Baseball owners group. Let's go to Jasper in Sicklerville, see what he thinks about baseball as well. Jasper.
What's going on, Devon?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. Happy belated Father's Day to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And secondly, I wanted to mention that we have a mutual friend. I also know Jabari Young.
Yes.
But I was hanging out with him during the Eagles-Dallas game, when we eliminated Dallas and won the division
right
a few months ago.
Yeah, Jabari's my man.
Unfortunately, he's a Cowboys fan.
Yes, he is.
But I happen to be friends with his father.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's how I know Jabari. Yeah.
Good dude, man.
He's a good guy, though. Yeah. We're very proud of what he's done with his career, without a doubt.
Yes.
But I just wanted to call in, first of all, comment about NASCAR. Needless to say, I was disgusted, but, when I thought about it, I can't say that I was terribly surprised. I was just saying to Josh that I feel like racism is kind of baked into NASCAR, as it is with our country as a whole. But particularly the sport of NASCAR, it had its roots in the South, and there's been a racist element, I feel, that's been baked into it since its very beginnings. And, I think NASCAR partially is to blame for the fact that, what happened to Bubba Wallace, because look at how long it's taken them to ban the Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm.
So, they've allowed racist symbolism and some racist behavior to go on for all these decades. Now, all of a sudden, they want to make changes. It's not going to happen overnight. But my feeling is, until I see more change, I'm out on NASCAR. I'm sorry. I mean, I just feel like...
Not even just to support Bubba Wallace.
Well, I support Bubba Wallace. I mean, in fact, I tweeted to him, you know, over the weekend, you know, my support. But I just can't get into the sport. You know, you're still seeing, you know, Confederate flags flying on trucks and RVs right outside, you know, the you know, stadium, whatever. You know, it's that element is still there. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as long as I still see that element, man, I'm sorry.
It's understandable.
I can't get into it.
It is understandable, for sure, man. Yeah. And what do you think about baseball? You've heard the news.
Yeah, you know, I was just saying to Josh, you know, I'm still somewhat skeptical. You know, basically he was saying that, you know, the commissioner can go ahead and, you know, green light the season anyway. But the players, you know, still have the option of whether or not, I guess, they want to report. I just feel like, you know, I've been saying from the beginning, I feel like the owners are greedy. And I just feel like this has dragged on way too long, basically because they don't want to lose any money.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't really feel like they care that much about the players' health and safety. I don't.
I hear you, man, and I've looked at this entire thing, Jasper, this entire time, and I've said that I've agreed with the players for the most part, and I've just basically pointed out how the owners are looking at their situation where they're losing the money that they're losing. They're just looking to add to their wealth when it's totally different for the players, right? They're trying to add to their wealth, and that's why they're being greedy, of course, because they're accustomed to one thing, adding on to the billions that they already have. And how dare they lose the part of the millions that are going to be on the billions that they want to continue to add on.
It's about money.
We know it's about money.
Yeah, it's all about the money.
Always is. Jasper, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you checking in with us tonight. Be safe, man. Thanks for the kind words about Father's Day as well. Hope everyone had theirs. I didn't ask Jasper if he's a father, but happy Father's Day if you are, Jasper. And yeah, man, baseball coming back. And look, I understand if you don't want to check in on NASCAR. I still don't want to really check in on NASCAR. I'm just rooting for Bubba Wallace because of what happened, because that was despicable. It's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. Dan Schwartz, 20. Yes. MLB coming back, it's the best decision they could have made because they know they won't be able to come back after this. 100%. 100%. At this point, this is the right thing to do. As Jasper just mentioned with the money, take whatever money you are going to get. Accept that. Right? Accept that. And just add on to your wealth with that money that's going to be there in the pool for you. All right? Just accept that. It'd be all good. So, but I'm in on it with the 60. Still have to wait until tomorrow, 5 p.m. Anything can change, right? Anything can change. As we know, when it comes to money and negotiations, anything can change, but the players have already put it out there. Tell us when, tell us where, and we'll get this thing rolling. Now you know when. July 1, spring training. July 24th through the 26th will be opening weekend. Spring training 2.0, July 1. And where? We're assuming it's going to be in those their home cities for spring training, and then they'll get together with how they're going to play. So I can't wait to hear the rest of the details. All of this stuff will start to trickle out as well. Our final segment is upcoming on the other side. 610-632-0975. Mitch, we'll get to you when we get back as we close out the show. Baseball, it looks like it's returning. How do you guys feel about it? 60 games. That the right number at this point? Or you're just like, look, I'll take whatever I can get. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick, right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
9:45 here on The Fanatic. Final segment for us. Josh Rabick, thanks so much. Great job as always producing the show. Really appreciate all you've done tonight. We'll be back on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Joe Torti in tomorrow at the same time. So make sure you tune in to Joe Torti tomorrow. 6 to 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This Victoria. Game is nuts!
Yes, I'm sure he'll have a lot to discuss with the Philadelphia Phillies and the Major League Baseball. We'll know by 5 p.m. tomorrow. So Joe will have a packed show when it comes to baseball, and you can discuss that. And by the way, Jasper says he is a father to a 2-year-old cat. So there you go. All right, Jasper, I appreciate it, my man.
He was the daddy in that deal.
Appreciate you checking back in, and thanks again for the call tonight. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones as we speak about certainly Major League Baseball returning, NASCAR, Bubba Wallace. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor on The Fanatic. What's up, Mitch?
What's happening now, Devon? Happy belated Father's Day to you.
Thank you, man.
I think I made it in early one on Friday.
But, you as know, well. Man. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Baseball, I wish I had been 80, be starting by July 1st, but we take what we can give. Hopefully nothing goes wrong tomorrow. A lot of players are losing their chances to pad their career statistics because I like to see records broken. Just this point, and hopefully all these teams, all these leagues can start because it's pretty scary with the corona out there. And Dallas, let him give all that money to that quarterback. I don't think he's that good, but he's better than I thought. Better, he wasn't, what was it, mid-round draft choice? Dak Prescott?
He was a fourth-round selection.
Fourth round. So he's been a better quarterback than fourth-round pick, but it's a lot of money. I don't think he's a top 10. So that's crazy.
He might be right around like that 10-12 range. Somewhere in there, he's had some success, we know. Otherwise, they wouldn't really be having these conversations about a long-term deal if he wasn't worth some sort of compensation based on what he's done as that fourth-round pick, Mitch. So he's a good football player. He has a lot of weapons. You know, a lot of times it really doesn't have to do with the quarterback. All they have to do is be more than competent, right? Just go out there, do your job, don't turn the ball over, make sure you get things rolling. And to go with it, Mitch, he has a great running back and a really good offensive line as well. It may not be the offensive line that we're accustomed to with the Dallas Cowboys, but they are a good offensive line, and we know Ezekiel Elliott is a fantastic back in this league. So the money is the money. It is what it is, and if they go out there and they make that payment for him, all right, I'm not scared of him. I'm more scared of the weapons, but once again, all he has to do is go out there and not make those mistakes.
Yeah, sure, they do have a lot of weapons for him. And also with the NBA, has anybody signed? Is anyone going to sign DeMarcus Cousins? Any chance my Clippers will sign him?
He tore his ACL again, so he's out.
Oh, he did? He tore it again?
Yeah, so he's been still rehabbing and all with the Lakers. He's part of the Lakers, but they released him. And some stuff where they still allow him to come back and work out with them at their facility and all. But yeah, he tore his ACL again. And you know, listen, the guy's had a shaky NBA career in terms of the stuff in Sacramento with the attitude and the technicals and all of those things. But
he's
a talented basketball player, which is the reason why you are asking. And it's a shame that, again, he has to suffer through another ACL. He did not get that big contract where a lot of people like Davies Bertans decide, I'm not going to Orlando and play. He tore his Achilles when he was with the New Orleans Pelicans, when it looked like they may make the postseason, when he was still partnered in the front court with Anthony Davis, and he has yet to get that money and recoup that money that he lost when he was injured that night.
Yeah. Well, Sacramento came so close, but, sign him, and they were about to give it to him, or he pull back?
No, I think he was just simply on one of those veteran deals because he got the $5 million. Mitch, thanks for the call from the Golden State Warriors. He got the $5 million from the Golden State Warriors, and we know he was injured there. Tried to come back. He did come back, played in the finals a little bit. Wasn't the player that we are accustomed to see DeMarcus Cousins be. We know he's a tremendous talent in this league, one of the best bigs in the game. So much he can give you on the offensive end. He continues to get hurt, and it's unfortunate. He has money. He's not hurting, but the money that he was set to make as one of the top players in the league, all-star, all-NBA player, all of that, he lost out on a lot of money. A lot of money, okay? He lost out on a ton of money. And it's a shame. You don't want to see players get hurt. You don't want to see players get hurt and lose out on money like that. We know the name of the game, and in this particular case, man, it's just freak stuff that's happening. The last time he did, I think he was just working out. I think he was simply working out. That's it. He was just working out. And during the workout, tore it again. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because it's a big man in this game where they don't even value the bigs like they used to. And he has lost a lot of cash with these injuries that he has just sustained over the last couple of seasons. And it stinks. But no, DeMarcus Cousins will not be available in that pool because he is still recovering from his torn ACL now as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. So, yep, that's it for him, unfortunately, this season. But doesn't mean that they can't, Mitch, go out there and maybe acquire some other players. Corey Brewer is signing with Sacramento Kings. Jamal Crawford and J.R. Smith's names are very popular at this time. They have until the 30th, I believe it is, until they have to make a decision on what they're going to do. So we'll see where the Sixers actually fit in this particular case when it comes to the free agents. So everything starts with transactions tomorrow, where the league opens up from the 23rd to the 30th for teams to do what's necessary and get in there and lock in some guys, the two-way guys as well. So that's tomorrow. Coronavirus testing starts tomorrow. And Wednesday, players have to let their teams know if they're traveling to Orlando. Bob Nightingale of USA Today, 26 minutes ago. Several high-profile players are saying they respect MLB's decision to still have a 60-game season after they turned down MLB's proposal early in the day, fearing their season would be reduced to 48 to 52 games or no season at all. So some of the higher profile players are excited about this return, and we're excited about this return. Let's call it for what it is. We're excited about this return. This is a good thing. It's a good thing. They're not off the hook. They have a lot of work to do to recover all of this, but hey, we'll take what we can get, right? We'll take what we can get when it comes to the Major League Baseball. So it's a good thing to have 60 games. We'll take it. We'll see what the Phillies do. 60-game schedule, spring training 2.0, July 1, season starting July 24th through the 27th. Commissioner Rob Manfred mandating the 60-game 2020 Major League Baseball season. Cool. I like it. All right, guys, thanks for a good night. We appreciate all the calls. As always, all the tweets. You make it easy for us when we get in here and do these shows. Josh Rabick always makes it easy producing the show. Really appreciate your work, man. As always, thank you so much. And I will be back on Wednesday at 6 o'clock here on the Fanatic. Joe Torti will be here tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. Hopefully we have some good news and he's able to talk some baseball
starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow. We'll find out by 5 p.m. or maybe earlier. We'll probably be leaked out. But we'll find out tomorrow and Joe, 6 o'clock tomorrow. So have a great night. Have a great Tuesday. I'll catch up with you guys on Wednesday. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Josh Rabick and Devon Gibbons right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.